It's the Tiltcast, episode 178, Face of Joy.
And this week we talk about Diablo 3.
Is that a no face?
More of it.
It's not a no
Dark
face.
Souls 1 and
Somebody's
2.
Rubbing your head.
FTL.
Oh, you look happy.
The new Heroes of the Storm Alpha. And some tabletop.
I love it.
Stay tuned.
Oh my god, I'm making muffins.
And that was the intro.
No, it wasn't.
Gotta love it.
Okay. You're on it. Terrible.
Gotta be. Somebody's gotta be. You're staring at your phone.
I have been. Well, you guys talk Star Wars.
Yay, Star Wars.
25 minutes.
Gosh, Star Trek's so much better.
Oh, man. Ousted.
No.
Ousted.
Ouch.
So.
No. I'm just throwing stuff out there, like earlier, people talking, all that noise. I'm Star Trek's better. That's what I say.
You're
Was Ricardo want to bond in Star Wars? Nay, nay, I say. Nay, nay. And he played Khan. Greatest bad guy ever.
Darth Vader?
No.
Yeah, Darth Vader is Khan.
Yeah.
No.
Actually, yeah. No, the
was there,
Emperor.
Was there a Botany Bay? Was there a Botany Bay in Star Wars? Nay, nay, I say. Nay, nay.
No, there was the Dark Fleet.
Ooh.
There was.
Why do you gotta label a fleet as dark? That's racist.
Hey.
You are racist.
Wow.
Why can't it just be a fleet? It's like going to China and saying, hey, I'd like some Chinese food. What do you call around? It's like, food? Why you gotta make fun of it? Just call it the fleet. Maybe a shadowy fleet. Why you gotta put the D word on it?
So now, as you can tell, this week on the Tiltcast, we got Earl.
Man. Tired of all this stuff going on. He's called it the fleet.
He's about to throw down and leave.
Across from me is Rusty.
Sup?
Next to me on my other side is Justin.
See?
Hey, what's
Didn't
up?
Didn't even call you Nasty Noss because I'm
I
putting
know.
My foot down.
Right?
Well, you gotta call him Nasty. Well, you just call him Noss.
Uh-huh.
See? My point exactly.
You only knew.
Oh. Oh. I bet I've done nastier. That's another story for another time.
I got something to throw out there right away.
Oh, God.
All right, go ahead.
So, a friend of mine at work, I'm talking to a friend of ours that's gay. And
why do you got to put labels, man?
Well, because it's very, very important
We're
for the story.
We're talking about the company of other men. Why you got to put the G word down?
My friend says, Steve-O. I'm just going to say Steve-O. He's thrown on the bus on this. He wanted to win. You know how he is. For my listeners, he does not like to lose anything, and he throws out these random ass contests. So he was trying to figure out if gay men would think that me, him, or John were prettier. So he talked to our mutually gay friend and said, "You should create us all a profile on Grindr and see who gets the most hits."
Oh,
Steve was trying to get me to commit to it, and I was like, "I can't do it." I was like, it'll be local, I'm going to go to a bar, and then it's going to get awkward. So
somehow work would see that, and then ask you all these questions.
And then I'd probably go to HR, and then who knows.
So someone at work would like your profile.
Oh, yeah.
And declare a relationship.
Oh, my God. It'd be awkward.
And then you'll have a stalker. Another one.
Yeah. So.
Rusty's jealous. You don't have a stalker.
Oh, jeez.
So,
Wow. Nice.
Nice way to... Yeah.
So I thought it was... To a certain extent, it was ingenious, up to the point where I had to submit my picture. And I was like, nope.
What's that all about?
Just submit his picture.
Why don't you put yours? You were looking pretty happy in a little picture of that selfie you took.
Wait a second.
Have you seen how gay you looked in that? For real, you're like,
say, Earl. You just
have you seen
G-word.
It? Have you seen? No, I'm just saying. Have you seen his picture? It looks like he found a piece of candy in his pocket. For real, have you seen? Let me pull it up and show it to you.
Somebody else found a piece of candy in his pocket.
Apparently.
Let me go here. Let me go, Rusty. Look at that. Oh, looky there, Rusty. Last name I will not say.
Uh huh.
Let me just look at this photo again. Right there. Oh, look. It's just smack
dab
in
like
my
right,
face.
Yeah, it's right there.
Wow.
See, don't know.
Really?
For real. Why don't you put that picture on Grindr?
Oh, yeah.
For real. I'm just saying.
It's a picture of me finishing at work.
Apparently. Does
what
she know?
Face is that?
Does she know you were finishing?
That's a selfie.
Does she know you were finishing, though? That's my question.
That's a selfie with a female.
Does she know you were finishing? Selfie. I know she listens. Did you, hey?
No, no, wait,
hey,
wait.
Stop hey, comment. It. Wait, stop. Do you wait, know he was no. finishing?
Wait.
Stop.
She, not only was that a selfie with a female, it was a selfie with a married female.
Okay.
He's the one that said he was finishing? I just asked the question. You said it. I didn't. I just used what you said.
Oh,
you don't have to comment if you're listening, but
yeah,
if you
well,
do,
no, she will comment. She'll
you
comment
should comment. I wish this was live so you could comment right now.
Well, you can call her if you want.
I'm not gonna call her.
Why not?
I'm happy you got her phone number in your phone.
Right. So speaking of which, Rusty, what have you been doing this week?
Yeah, buddy,
taking selfies at work.
Apparently, while you've
well,
been
that's
finishing.
All I do at work. I mean, half the photos that come up on my feed are taken at work on the Mac.
Oh wait, no. You have to show the picture of what else went on at work this week.
Oh,
was there a party?
What are you talking about?
Oh, I got in spandex.
Hold on, Justin.
Oh,
Justin, that's like so non-conspicuous. He's like, what are you talking about?
Tie dye and spandex, and he's completely missing the point. That's not me.
Alright,
yeah, well, so I have a very interesting job which allows me to do a lot of things, and none of these things have to do with work. Most of it has to do with using a camera.
You look extremely happy that she's touching you.
Well, you know, it's amazing after, you know, never mind. She, something about biscuits.
What? But you look extremely happy in a non-friendly way.
No, this is my boss.
Mm-hmm.
The one in the long hair.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We both have long hair, though.
Well,
okay.
The really long hair.
That's skinny one.
Wow.
Yeah. Isn't that great?
That's
awesome.
Great.
You know, oh man, I wish
it,
I could show you
it
guys.
It kind of reminded me of Ken and someone we know at work.
That's nothing for the listeners. But
okay, well.
Keep going.
Wow, really? Nobody's going to be able to hear
No.
Me. No, Rusty, no.
That's the person the police are going to hear when they ask you. No, Rusty, no!
He did say twice, no. So, I couldn't say anything more. I just videotaped him getting in drag. shit. My job. Which happens...
No. You have to explain. It wasn't just drag.
Oh, God. Okay, so basically, he has to dress up for a retirement party of a individual at work. And he has to wear the Cher costume for the Sonny and Cher duo. This guy's kind of a tall, lanky fellow, and he put some tissues in on his breasts so that he could have a little lump there. Apparently... somebody else told him that he's got lumped in a different place that needs to duck.
Wow.
So, yeah. This is a really strange individual. I'm going to introduce you to him. Quiet.
Okay.
Justin almost had this look of dread on his face.
Well, you know.
Amazing. Is that all you did this week?
No. I played a little bit of Diablo.
Boy, your phone just locking up.
No, it's definitely locked. That's for sure.
That's what I said. It locked up. I don't understand how it was. That wasn't what I just said.
Thanks for...
Hey, there you go. It's fixed.
Who the fuck is that?
What?
You don't even look as happy as you did and have them photos, man.
Dude, I don't fucking take photos of myself. I take terrible
selfies.
Like
how he, like, takes the story and, like,
know,
goes
right?
around the bush. Just saying, you don't. I've never seen.
What are you looking at me for? What?
Never seen you more happier than that photo in the whole many years I've known you. Even whenever you got like a plate of food that you really love, you've never looked like that.
It's not like I love food. Oh fuck, I do. Love
I'm just
food.
Saying. All these years I've known you, 5 or 6 years,
no,
I've never seen that.
You've
look
never
ever.
Seen the look of my eyes rolled back or. To the side.
Not that happy.
I hope not.
The only other time I've seen you do that is whenever Holly was rubbing your head. And the one with the one on the top, not the one in the pants.
Uh-oh. Okay, thanks for you know.
Oh, I'm sorry. Am I not supposed to say any other woman's name? Is there something going on?
I'm just saying.
I just see what's on those photos.
You just suck. All right.
I don't know that I suck. I'm just pointing out obvious facts. I look like that on one of my photos with my wife. Let me find that photo.
Here you go. Earl, there you go.
Exactly! That is my point right there.
What? What was the date on that,
by the way? That was the big anniversary show.
Yep.
Yeah, that was
surprise last August. Surprise you've forgotten.
Last August?
You call 8/13. Yourself.
8/13?
Yeah.
Are you sure? Yeah,
it was last August.
8/13 is my birthday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was your birthday.
Mm-hmm. It was my birthday, all right. Mm-hmm. Anywho.
Boy, sure. You're getting nervous.
So, sharing again.
Boy, you're like sweating profusely.
Well, you know.
Are you gonna, now he's going to go on Facebook and defriend me and go, I hate you.
I unfriend you.
Yeah.
No, he's probably going to go on there and tell Holly he wasn't cheating on her.
See, look. Look, I look like Rusty did all happy. And look, that was on the day I got married to my wife. I'm just saying. I look like that. There, look at that big smile. It's just like you. Just saying.
Look at you.
Day I got married.
So, anywho, some Diablo.
Right? Some Diablo. That's about it. I killed his ass twice. I am really digging the new loot system, though.
Yeah?
It's... I did not know that there was a cooldown period for legendaries.
Yeah.
It's basically like the rested XP thing. So if you don't log in for a certain period of time, you get more legendaries.
Awesome.
Considering this is finals week, I'm not gonna have plenty of, I'm gonna have plenty of legendaries popping up.
Yeah.
My legendary pants. Anywho.
Yeah. So
I have not gotten Reaper of Souls yet, though. I've been really looking at it. I'm kind of on gaming hiatus for the next weeks until I get my last test done on Thursday or Wednesday.
I really need to play some ESO.
I haven't even started that shit yet, dude.
I know.
Yeah, we were discussing that last week.
The, well, at least I've still got 30 days and I haven't touched it, right? That is if I remember my password.
Ouch.
Ooh. Well, after spending $80 on it, I'm going to play it a little bit. I'm going to be playing a lot as soon as I get through finals week, and then there's a weekend of party till I can't fucking speak anymore. I'm going to get drunk. Very drunk.
I start painting my neck.
Oh. Should put that in my pocket.
You then. Should. Oh, I don't need to know what's in that pocket, sir.
No. I only keep sharp objects in you in my pocket.
That's not the only person you keep sharp objects.
Excuse me?
Hey, there's a stamp forming on your forehead there.
What?
Yeah.
Who, what? Me?
Okay. Yeah.
Where?
Yeah. Who? Yeah.
What do you mean there's a stamp forming on my head?
Right there.
Oh. Too obscure joke. In his pocket, you know.
Penis, oh, in your pocket. I got you. Yeah. I got you. Oh, funny.
Yeah, wild mushrooms. Anywho.
You sure seem nervous, Rusty.
Well... You came out in front of me there, guy.
I didn't come out for nothing.
All right.
It's really odd. It's not only odd to you.
It has turned on.
It's
quick,
only
so
odd to you.
I'm just letting it go.
Oh, right?
Okay. I just want to see how this story develops.
I was just wanting to see just how bad this could blow up in Rusty's face right now.
It's not blowing up yet.
I don't even know anything. I was just making observations. That's all I was doing. Because that's what I get paid for, observations.
Actually, it kind of is.
Yeah, it's exactly your job. That's kind of scary.
The only problem is I can't make an observation about myself sometimes. I get an idiot. I'm like, what do you mean? I'm watched like, you're an idiot. I'm like, oh, I don't understand.
Well, so, anywho.
Just face it, Earl, you're a simple country boy.
Mm-hmm. But have you been having fun, though, Rusty?
What?
Have you been having fun?
Oh, yeah.
Good.
I've got...
I'm happy.
I'm going to give a shout-out to a video... channel for on YouTube called The Game Theorists.
Yeah.
Have you seen any of their stuff?
No.
Oh, God.
Right here.
Jess was like, oh, yeah. They're, oh, man.
Yeah,
not
he's shaking his
one.
Head. Yeah. No, game theorists are, they take an odd theory. Really like good. They take one of the better ones that
they
I
did,
can
they
remember.
They did the lock picking on Skyrim, and that was really cool.
Yeah,
that was a really good one.
Is this done by the guys that do Rooster Teeth?
No,
I don't believe so.
No, but
I don't
they
think
do.
So.
They do a series called like Real Life and Gaming, and so they'll do things that are in video games and film it.
Well, no, this
so,
is
like crazy shit.
For instance, remember Legend of Zelda Majora's Mask?
Right.
They took and dissected the story and all of the different visuals from the previous game, Majora's Mask, and you know that going forward, and made a case for Link being dead throughout the entirety of Majora's Mask. And by the as you go through it, it starts to make sense. You should check it out.
Weird.
And they've gone off on different things like Pokemon are actually people, and they're using in-game lore to be able to support these things. They've gone
Another
through and
piece.
Said that Mario is actually a very, very strange individual when you think about him.
Well, yeah.
Using the idea of the blocks were actually denizens of the Mushroom Kingdom. So he's going around busting blocks and killing the denizens of the Mushroom Kingdom to get coins.
Well, listen, sometimes you gotta jack fools to get money, okay? Let's just be honest.
Sometimes you just
why you gotta just be standing there just giving me my money? No ATM, I'll punch you in your face. I'm just saying.
I'm taking a withdrawal from your face.
Sometimes it has to be done.
Mario's just a tax collector, dude.
Sometimes you gotta get rough with them if they don't listen.
A tax collector from the medieval times using his boot in his head.
What is this all about?
What is this
Look,
all about?
My wife smiled at me one time like you did.
Wow, one just time? Saying. Just once?
No, there's many other ones. That's the one I have on camera. Because she don't let me take her
just
photo.
Just this once?
Yeah. There's another one where she's not smiling.
Well, it's called immersion. That's what it is.
Immersion.
That's what I was looking up.
Okay.
Rooster Teeth is incredibly good. I really like a lot of their stuff.
Yeah, but the game theorists are really cool. Like, they did the one with the block picking from Skyrim. They actually called in a locksmith, talked about it, and then they actually had to try to pick their way out.
Well, they take different things from, scientific theory and psychological theory and throw it together and said, what if? And then it starts to make more sense as it goes.
Yeah.
But give them a check, because they're really good. Notice that I got into a conversation with one of my workmates
One of my workmates. We went to my garage.
Talk about Doom.
We're working with some aluminium.
So you were working with one of your workmates.
And we were talking about retro gaming systems or old gaming systems. And this kid, I say kid because he's like 10 years younger than me. And he's like, my very first video game system was a Nintendo that was passed down to me from my dad. I'm like,
what?
That's terrible.
How old is he?
He's 10 years younger than me, so I'm like, okay.
God, that fucking sucks.
Yeah, I know.
I feel so old.
I'm like, okay, my very first gaming system was like
No, how do you feel old? I wanted a Nintendo, a Super Nintendo, because I wanted the Super Mario, so my mom gets me... Gets me an Atari with Pong. I'm like, how does this correlate?
So you get an Atari when Nintendo's already out.
Yeah, because we're poor.
Oh, well, you know, whatever you can pick up at a...
This is all the weapons in Doom, the inventory, on one person. It's like almost 200 pounds.
Wow. You got to think about these things.
But every time I wanted one, I always got the one behind it. Like
it's
then
just
I wanted
fucking hanging off of him.
Then I wanted a Super Nintendo, so I got Nintendo. I was like, well, I don't understand where this is going.
You know what I had to do? So they had this little store called Mox Video Game Exchange.
Yeah. It wasn't a little store until the end of years.
Yeah, but I mean, well, what I'm getting at is like it was an independent store. And that was how I stayed current with gaming. I would trade in my old systems for new systems, etc.
Wait.
Sorry, guys.
You just cut him off mid-sentence, for real, dude. I am so sorry that he is that disrespectful to you in your own place.
Jeez.
Will you please continue?
That's probably going to be loud as fuck, too.
That's more disrespectful than what Rusty did last week. But continue, please.
Well,
I was just saying, that was how I was able to do that. And I'm...
like I have a pretty good relationship with one of the local GameStop or two of the local GameStops here in town, but for the most part, like, not ripping on them, but just ripping on trading policy. Like, you don't get garbage for anything. Like, you can trade
an Xbox. Old school ones you did.
Right, but an Xbox, now you trade it in, you get, like, what, $40 in credit or something
stupid?
If
you're lucky. If you're lucky.
Yeah, if you're lucky. On a brand new game.
Did you ever see those commercials that YouTube had where they were making fun of the, like, GameStop giving you, or Vintage Stock giving you the crap-ass game exchange?
That
obstacle course with full gear on.
No. Well,
I just like how they have the Doom thing on the bottom.
Right. Dude's at 4% health.
I'm not telling you that my family's magical or nothing, but my daughter can make fire come out of nowhere.
Holy shit.
Boom in your faces. I'm listening. So, but, Mox Game Exchange.
How about you? We don't have the same kind of trade-in value anymore.
No, we don't.
Yeah. I think I've been there's a game store here in town that's over there behind Toys R Us.
Yeah.
That a buddy of mine who runs, I'll plug him when I remember his name, Barry Rice. If you look up Barry Rice, well, you're going to find a shitload
of people. I went over there thinking Barry it was a Rice? Card game shop. I thought it was a board game shop, and it was the video game. I know what you're talking about.
He was telling me there's a bunch of, like, old school stuff you can get there, too.
Yeah.
Relatively cheap?
Fairly cheap. He said he spent about $100.
Okay.
Or something. I don't know.
Right.
But I was talking to him on Facebook about it, and he was like, yeah, you really need to check that out.
Yeah, I went there to see if they had board games, and I realized it was just a video game shop, so I just left.
Yeah. What? I would have stayed there.
No, I was looking for a board game. I was looking for a certain board game.
What board game were you looking for?
Alhambra.
Oh, okay.
What?
And I have it now.
Sweet.
And it's mine, and I want to play it, and my wife thinks it's too advanced, so she doesn't want to play it. But that's how she did with Catan, and I twisted her arm to play Catan, and she loves it.
There's nothing
but she wanted to use the same damn excuse, so I've got to try to twist her arm. She's saying it was Suro. I was like, just play Suro. It's a great game. She twisted her arm. She loves it. But she won't play Alhambra. And I'm mad.
Wait, no. Catan, is that like the oldest board game
ever?
No.
But now it's Settlers of Catan. It's really great.
You know what I'm talking
about? It's one of the...
The one that's... It's fucking like...
Sort of like checkers, but not really. You've got a rollout map.
Chinese checkers?
No.
I don't know. If you want the four tile games, you got to have... Like I said, with Catan... But she thought it was... She was like, oh, it's so hard. I think I don't like it. But she loves it now. And I'm just trying to get her to play Alhambra because it's a great game. But she won't play it. It makes me mad.
So
I'm banking on my kids to get older.
So, getting back on track. Rusty. Right. We were talking about, like, where we got our start. You know, in video games. And he's a gamer. He plays, he picked up the PlayStation 4. He was at the PlayStation 4 release. I talked to him briefly on that episode. So he's playing with that right now. But he's like, my very first game system was the NES. I'm like, man, I had three different Ataris. I had all kinds of games for these Ataris. I got the first one.
See, I had an Atari, but I wasn't allowed to play it. It's my dad's.
Right, see...
And that's what happened to me. And then we got... My buddy had a Commodore 64 or whatever it was. And I played a lot of games at his house. And my grandma felt bad for me because my dad was playing all the video games and bought me an NES. Like, a year after.
That's a hell of a parent right there.
See, this
my
is...
My grandma, you know, when you're a kid...
Dad. No, it's mine. Can't play it.
My dad is fairly young. Well, he's like, you don't need to be playing this.
See, the thing is, my dad picked up the Atari. And, I mean... I have a unique situation because my parents are young, so...
They're about the same age as mine, aren't they?
No, I don't know.
How old's your dad?
47.
Your dad's really 47?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What kind of magic 12. Is this?
Is
this like... when he was 12!
Is this like Matt magic where he was like 14?
Okay, well, this is the thing. I have a very unique relationship with my parents because my parents were 13 and 15 when they had me, so... It's
holy shit.
Yeah, so they're kind
magic.
Of like
it is Matt magic.
Yeah, it's yeah. Because
Matt's got a kid going in college.
Wow.
Yeah. He's your age. He's got a child in college.
But you know, that gave me they gave them a unique perspective. I was living with my grandparents for the first 8 years of my life. But you know, as soon as they graduated and you know got their own place, I moved, you know, I went with them obviously. And Dad was fairly young at the time, so he saw this system and picked it up. It was the Atari 2700. It was the black plastic one with the wood veneer kind of front on it, and he picked it up. And I don't know if, you know, it was pretty expensive back in the day.
Well, hell, an original NES was like $100-something-odd.
The original Atari. The,
I was gonna say, just comparing by what I remember, like original NES was over $100, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Original Atari was like $100-something.
Yeah,
the original
was
NES
expensive.
Was almost $200.
There was nothing in the in that was that small, that was, you know, that was able to be hooked up to a television. That was like one of the very first ones. So he picked that one up, and I remember playing with that one because it had the four switches on the back side of, you know, backboard of it. So
yep.
I remember playing with that one, and that one broke. What would happen is that broke. Mom went out, and I lived in Michigan. And video games didn't really take off in Michigan as quickly as, you know, other places. So there was these kids that would get these systems and not play them. There would be a system and a bunch of games, always at like a yard sale or something.
Yeah.
So Mom would go out and get another one, you know, and she got the 4800 or something like that. It was the black and silver one, and I started collecting games upon games. I had like 100 games by the time I was done. I'd gone through 3 Ataris and had 100 games before the NES came out. And then I had an opportunity. My dad said, "You're going to either get an NES or you're going to get a snowmobile."
You chose an NES.
I chose an NES, and it's changed my life ever since. But that was basically, that's where I started. And he's like, "Man, you know, I've seen an Atari." And when he said that, he was like, I pictured him standing behind glass at a freaking, like, you know, an exhibit of some sort. He's like, "I've seen an Atari in a museum." It's pretty crazy when you think about it. How far have these games come?
Oh, yeah.
You know, I had all those Ataris, Nintendo, Super Nintendo, you know, Sega Genesis, Sega CD, Dreamcast, all kinds of shit. And we were talking about old systems, basically, throughout most of the day. I only get to see them for like an hour, so, you know, I stayed after work for a little bit talking to this kid for, and he's like, "Man, you do a lot of games." And I'm like, "Yeah, that's kind of what I do. That's my hobby." And he's like, "I like to play with computers." I'm like, "I was PC gaming before you were even born." That's pretty much most of my day. That's, you know, shit. I mean, I can't wait until finals are done so I can actually start playing games again.
You need play ESO. Justin's getting lonely.
I'm getting lonely.
You haven't found anybody else to play with you other than the just randoms?
Randoms. I want a part of a random guild.
Oh, that must be sad.
It is a little sad.
I have my old WoW buddies I can get in touch, you know, touch with. I know there's at least one pedophile in there that you might like.
Shut up.
I can't say that. He's not a pedophile anymore. Since I talked
anymore?
To him. Okay. He's not a pedophile anymore, and I say this anymore because he did find somebody that was of marrying age and married her and has now a kid. So, Luca, you know who you are.
So enough of that. Is that all you did this week?
That's pretty much it, yeah.
Earl, you haven't been on in a while.
I have not.
You have, like,
what have you been doing?
Look at that, observations all night.
I know, right?
Man, you have learned well. I'm proud of you.
Hey.
Dark Souls.
What?
Dark Souls. I haven't been playing much because of my arm, but my arm's feeling better. It just hurts every once in a while. So.
Right or left?
My right arm is still.
You're right-handed?
Yeah, I'm right-handed. So that's that.
Man,
this arm's
fine.
That's
gotta suck.
Yeah. Well,
you
get
to change
what?
Up the hand every once in a while.
That's what I was thinking.
I'm gonna do that. I'm married.
Oh, that's not gonna be more reason to do it.
No. No, but no, my arm's feeling better, so I'm starting to go back over. I've been playing because I haven't been able to, been worried about like the full I'm gonna, you know, whatever. So I've been playing like Catan and Ticket to Ride on the Xbox just because you don't have to use much movement of the arm. So doing that.
How much movement do you have when you play Dark
Souls? Listen, you get into Dark Souls and you jerk sometimes when you're trying to roll back.
Yeah, I jerk, all right.
Apparently you did. Let's talk about that picture again.
Wait.
We can talk about you jerking.
Wait.
Again. So. But yeah, I've been doing that, and then I've been doing this great new fast that I'm on.
Oops.
It's amazing.
What?
Yeah, it is.
What kind of fast
are you doing? Called a raw fruity food fast. 21 days. Ah, day.
As he grabs his big bottle of water.
Hey, a gallon
just, like,
a day.
Sucking it down.
Gallon a day, my friends.
Sucking it down, all right.
That must make you just, like, take dumps like crazy. Is that right?
Sometimes when you have the raw food, it does, yeah. So I'm very regular now, so I'm kind of happy with that.
So,
no more cheese block for him.
Right. Mm-hmm. So almost, how far are you in on that?
Again, if you listen, day eight.
Day eight.
Day eight.
Day eight.
Yeah, so, but no, I almost, I saw meat today, and eight. I was like, but I was like, no, I'm not going to. My wife is so happy. And I'm just supporting her because she loves food.
See, about day eight, I'd have like these shakes.
But
this
you don't understand.
Need for
but,
a
but you don't understand. It's not just no meat. You can't have any of this pasteurized. You can't have coffee.
What the fuck?
Yeah, I know. If you want tea, you have to drink green tea or organic. So I found some organic breakfast blends. I've been drinking that. Yeah, so you know what?
Who the hell sold you on this diet?
My wife wanted to transition into eating healthy, and
well,
she always tries it, and I never support her. And like day four, she fails. So I told her I would support her for the 21 days. So I'm staying strong. I went to Jersey Mike's to get a sub and a tub, and I was like, oh, I'm the original Italian, and they put it all together, and I was like, oh, there's meat on here, and I cut it all up, and I was like, man, so I like 3 minutes I'm debating with myself whether I'm gonna eat this meat or not. And I was like, screw this. So I threw all the meat on the plastic side where the lid was at. I just ate all the lettuce, tomato, onion, it had vinegar and red wine. I had some pepper or something on it. So I ate that for supper and then I put the lid back on and threw it away. So I was, but you don't understand.
You threw
it had
meat.
Salami, prosciutto.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
You threw me the best part of a
bunch of good stuff. I know, but I thought if I did that, I would feel really horrible, and my wife would be very sad. So, you know, I'm supporting my wife. You got to do that sometimes.
You could do
you
that.
You got to support your wife sometimes.
You know, moral support, you know,
yeah.
Clap every once in a while.
No,
that's
I didn't
want
to make her feel
support.
Bad. Because every time I tell her I do something, I cave. She's like, this is why I don't ever trust you. So, I'm staying strong for her. Getting ready for my trip to Pennsylvania. So I'm getting ready for my trip to Pennsylvania. Gonna love it.
What you gonna do in Pennsylvania?
See her family.
Awesome.
So go to Mennonite country. Gonna visit a bunch of bakeries and get a lot of good homemade stuff.
Uh-huh.
Well, much goodness.
I knew some Mennonites up in Michigan.
Yeah?
No, they're not bad.
No, Mennonites are pretty
good,
cool.
Good cooks.
I have no... I learned a lot after meeting my wife, and then I asked her questions she didn't know, so she had to call her mom.
They're,
and then her mom was thrown off guard that I learned so much.
Yeah.
And I feel bad for making fun of them,
they're,
so...
They're hell of makers, dude. I love their
Oh,
ways.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
Hi.
So, been doing that, been playing with the kids a lot. My little daughter made a friend, a little girl across the street.
Nice.
Little girl's like 5, so she's older than my daughter.
Oh.
But they went outside and played in the backyard. Her dad is a very rugged man. He scares me.
This
his name is John.
The
his name is John. This man is like the rugged man. And I went to go help
rugged.
Him move their washer and dryer. And I was like, nice to meet you, I'm Earl. And I thought he said Johnny. And I said, nice to meet you, Johnny. And then in the most deepest voice I've ever heard, he's like, I said my name is John. I'm like, oh, nice to meet you, John. And he was scared the crap out of me. So I don't talk to him much.
Do you clean guns with him?
No, but my mom came over in my old car and he ran out like a little fangirl my wife says, and said his brother used to have the exact same car, and he wanted to take a picture and prove that they're still around. He took a picture of Shifty Henry and sent it to his brother. I don't know where his brother lives. My car is moving on in the world in picture form, so I'm happy about that. My son's growing and pooping and being a little boy.
That's normal.
He doesn't talk, but you can ask him what sound does a car make, and he'll go, I can't do the sound. It's like, so he does that. Then you ask him, what sound does a monkey make? And he goes, ah, 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 ah. Then my wife calls him her little monkey, so I'll say, what sound does Zachary make? And I'll go, ah, 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 ah. But you ask him what sound does a fish make? And he goes, trying to make the pop sound, but he can't. So, you know, just being adorable. And I've just been doing the family life. Like I said,
yeah.
It's just family life. I enjoy it. I've just been hanging out with family a lot and stuff like that. So,
I'm just kind of surprised you didn't come in here all screaming about WrestleMania.
Oh, I enjoyed it. No, I enjoyed it.
It had to end sometime.
It did. But again, like I said, I enjoyed WrestleMania. I went and saw it at Henson. No, the Undertaker streak ended.
Oh, yeah.
21-1. But, yeah, no, I figured something was going to happen. But no.
He's getting up there in the years anyway.
Yeah. I saw that. Did you want to see the picture I posted on Facebook of him before he dyed his hair? He literally, like, grandpa style. Like, I put it on Facebook. Because I was showing my friend Steve, I was like, dang, Undertaker, someone's grandpa. And he saw it, and then we made fun of the Undertaker. So, Undertaker, if you're listening, I made fun of you. That's right, I did.
He's going to come knock on your door.
He is, seriously. I didn't know if you could realize this or not, but he does listen to the Tiltcast.
He does?
He does. The Undertaker does. And I made fun of him. I don't care.
Sweet.
Just like Blizzard listens to us, and I told him, why don't you make us a sponsor? They haven't done it yet.
I know, right?
Monster, why don't you make us a sponsor? I know one guy would be really happy if you did. His name reminds, you know what? His name is the same name of a rival energy drink. So if you don't step up to the plate, we'll go to that one.
I thought there was a point where I was thinking this week, it's like, who could I have sponsors?
You should get NOS.
I was like, you know what? I could go with NOS.
I don't know. Listen, if you're not going to sponsor us, if you're not going to sponsor us, oh no, because that would be nasty, because I'd be taking a drink and you'd walk up and go,
nasty.
You take up and you go, it's like, hey, how do I taste? And then it'd be awkward and I'd have to end drinking NOS for the rest of my life. But that'd be a great pickup line. Be like, oh, you're enjoying that? Yeah. How do I taste? I'm the one that did that.
That's pretty terrible.
The problem is I don't have to do the pickup line. I know a lot of people at work. I work with a lot of people. And I remember talking to...
It would work at the Majestic.
I had this person who was drinking this. No, I'm not going to say who it is. And she goes, I was just drinking this, and I looked at you, and I was drinking this. She's like, and I can't comment, so... Put this down.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, and I also posted this, which is amazing. If you get good wordplay,
I know, right?
If you get good wordplay from the Oregon Trail.
Oh yeah.
I love that picture. My I laughed so much. My wife didn't understand why I was laughing.
Terry, isn't that a girl's name?
You died from dysentery.
Is that what that said?
Yeah.
Nice.
But anyway, so you know, I just been doing that kind of stuff. I'm like, hey, what else am I gonna do? You know. I play at certain times of night. My wife the other day was like, okay, if you play the Xbox. I'm like, really? I get ready to go. She goes, whoa, whoa, whoa. I wasn't done. I'm like, whoa, okay. And she's like, you know, when I'm asleep or it's 2 in the morning. I'm like, oh, well, thanks. I appreciate that. Support. That's what my wife gives me. Support.
Well, you're supporting her, right?
But that's all I've been doing, really. Just doing that good stuff. Oh, look at that. Look at that picture of Dark Souls right there. Bam!
21 days.
Yeah, did you finally beat that?
Hell no. I have a bad, what do you call it? A bad, my depth perception is horrible. And that stupid first king, I can't ever get up on time. So, Trent
gave
me...
You gotta haul ass.
I know, Trent... Well, I get up there, but then I don't judge it right. And it pisses me off. But anyway, so Trent gave me some ideas. So, you know, I'm going to try that out.
There's that garden you can farm.
Yeah, he showed me to go to the Painted World, and I can go there and farm really quick.
You can do that. I think souls. It's easier to go to. So there's Darkroot Garden.
Uh-huh.
That's right by...
I know where Darkroot Garden is.
So you know that little set of stairs that goes into it?
Uh-huh.
if you go and you hide off to the left corner,
yeah.
If you get somebody's attention and go up the stairs and drop off the side, if you can ninja this good,
yeah.
You will get three dudes that will follow you off the side.
Yeah,
jump, hit your head, and then fall off.
We don't want to talk about. And we're talking about the Forest Covenant because that pissed me off. I never attacked them. I saved. I went back. They decided to attack me. I defended myself as an American. And then the cat's like, oh, you can't be part of my covenant no
you gotta
more.
You got to go pay that guy up in the bell tower.
I did. No. I did. And it's like, you're not part of the covenant anymore. And the fucking cat said this. He's like, oh, as long as my days are here and you're playing this game, we'll hunt you for the rest of your life. And I couldn't even kill him. He made me mad. He ran like a commie.
So here's the thing, though. Here's the thing. So if you will do what I'm talking about, since they hate you, because you want them to hate you to farm these souls.
Yeah.
Use this to your advantage. You go and you get, you do a little loop.
Yeah.
Because you know there's those invisible guys.
Yeah.
So you go like up, hang a left, like jog around a tree, and you'll grab three of them. Yeah. All ass back, get to those stairs, get right up to the side of the stairs where there's that cliff.
Mm-hmm.
So you're next to the stairs and the cliff, and there's like no space between you and the edge of the cliff.
Nice.
They come, they follow you, and they will path over the top of your head, and yeah. You get like 1,000 souls per kill. And that kill,
and I've got
that
another
takes you
idea.
About 10 seconds for 3,000 souls.
So my question, first of all the souls you get from the bosses, do you ever use them in Dark Souls 1, ever?
Use them to buy weapons.
In Dark Souls 1?
Yeah, use them to upgrade, to get special weapons.
Yeah. I need to know where I need to go for that. Because I was going to say, I'm just cashing all my fucking souls.
Look on the wiki for it.
Yeah.
And look up one of the boss souls, and it'll tell you where to... I don't remember. It's just been a while.
Because I know in Dark Souls 2, what I was watching in there, he was letting me know you can buy this stuff with the souls.
Yeah, I'm actually getting ready to upgrade some weapons right now.
Because if you don't use them souls, I'm just going to cash in all the souls I've been collecting and just...
Well, you could do that. What class are you playing?
Warrior.
Just basic warrior?
Yeah, I'm thinking about just going in, because I don't ever do anything to the souls that I collect. I think about just going in my inventory and just cashing all in but the boss's souls.
I do that all the time.
I haven't done that yet.
Like, I'll be like, oh, I'm 3,000 souls short. Better use these.
I haven't done it. I haven't even done that yet. Yep. So, I'm probably going to go in there and cash those in. If I just get my vitality up a couple notches, then I should be fine. It's just, I have a bad depth perception on Dark Souls, and I go to stab them, and then when I turn the camera, I realize it's like, so Rusty, I know the people at home can't see this, but like, say Rusty's the first king, and I'll be like, and I don't hit him, and I turn my camera, and I'm really like right here, and I'm like, and I'm nowhere near him, and I gotta run, and he usually hits me in the back with the blue thing, and I die.
Just go up and give him a big old hug.
So I tried, and then I got, I don't know if you know this or not, but in Dark Souls, there is a guy called I Suck, and he's the HR guy, and he makes you go to a class about inappropriate hugs in the workplace.
Whoa.
It's a true statement.
What?
It's true.
So things that I like better about Dark Souls 2.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's some additional stats you can raise that also help with your defense.
Nice.
Which helps with poise. And poise is what, like, if you block, how much stamina it uses when you block, or how much you actually move when you get hit.
Kind of with the wolf ring, you just throw that on and it helps you with your poise.
Yeah. And so, like, I got a poise ring, plus I've been upping my poise in general, and it only takes like a tic tac of my stamina, even with the hardest hits.
I was watching Trent play, and he was like, you're going to roll? He goes, I don't roll. I just back up out of the way and then kill him.
Well, and I also watched... So, like, I got really hardcore this weekend with Dark Souls.
Yeah.
And I was like, two. I need... Yeah, with two. And I was like, you know what? I need to figure out some advanced moves. So I looked at some videos. Yeah. Actually, before I start this, I need another drink. Because I'm going to be talking a minute.
Yeah, I'll get it for you.
That's in the freezer.
I'll get it for you. It was like, I can't reach the freezer. So, oh, God, I can't open it!
He's so short.
Right? It should be right there in the front.
Okay. I was looking for another one of those.
The Wookiee's almost too tall to be.
I was looking for another one of those over there. I didn't know you were holding that one. Anyways,
it's been in there like 45 minutes.
Anyway, so go ahead.
I didn't want to wear that. You know, that's awesome.
Oh, sorry about that. So, anyways, like,
I smell like a rock star.
I drink them all. Rock stars. And the other. But, so anyways.
Listen, Rockstar, sponsor. Stop one of you three can be the first one to do it.
I just want Blizzard to,
I keep trying to get Blizzard to do it, but
I'm
going to
talk
about
Blizzard here a little bit.
Okay.
But since he's on this thread, I don't want to interrupt the rest of the thread. I'll just talk about Dark Souls.
Dark Souls.
And Dark Souls 2, I started using I did two characters. I got a Sorcerer, and I'm building a dual-wielding Paladin. I know that sounds freaking weird.
So you went online, looked at some videos.
Well, yeah, and then I was getting, because there was a couple parts where I was like, you know what, I'm not doing as great as I used to do in PvP.
Yeah.
And part of it is because I block too much. Yeah. I know that sounds weird, but there is a block-breaking move. Mm-hmm. And I found some people are doing it. Like, if you hit up and you hit the R1 button at the same time, they will do a move that will basically remove the guy's defenses so that you can get in and get a big counterattack.
Nice.
So, if somebody gets up on you and they're blocking the whole time, you're just like, screw it. Hit both buttons at the same time, it knocks their shield aside, it stuns them for about almost a second. And if you hold down R1, you do like a badass power move.
So you go up in R1
at the same time,
hold it.
And it knocks the shield aside.
But yeah, but as soon as you do that, you got to hold down R1 instantly, right?
It makes a cute, it makes a noise that kind of tells you you did the move.
Yeah.
Aside from showing you visually what happened.
But that's what I'm saying, though. But once you knock the shield out of the way, you just hold down R1 as fast as
you
can.
You wait for the noise,
yeah.
Which is usually about a half second later.
Yeah.
And they'll do this pose where it looks like they're stunned, like their arms are to the side, and like opening. Look, they're going to give you a hug, basically.
Like praise the sun?
It's sort of. Mm-hmm. And then, well, I'm a sun bro now. I'm going to talk about that a little bit, but.
Well, you can learn the gesture and it's praise the sun.
Yeah, but now there's a specific covenant for sun bros.
Nice.
I don't know if there was one before, but now there is specifically a sun bro.
You're a sun brony, huh?
I'm a sun bro.
Sun brony? All right, I got you.
So you knock it aside, you hear the audio cue.
Yeah.
Then you hold down R1 and then you do like a power stab, or you like have a halberd, take the halberd and like gorge him in the chest and lift him up in the air and toss him off your
mask. That's really cool. So that's what you've been doing, huh?
So I've been getting in the PvP areas and it's like, you know what? I'm going to fuck around with this a little bit. With my covenant, though, that's not really my main objective. My main objective is to go into other people's worlds to help them out.
Yeah, yeah, because they tell me about the blue knights. Yeah.
You know, so there's those guys. That's the first covenant you can get. Yeah. And you can put on your ring and be summoned like crazy to help other people that are a part of that covenant getting invaded.
Yeah.
Which is kind of fun. But the one I'm in is the co-op covenant. So the Sun Bros are co-op. So you get a special, you're a yellow phantom instead of a white phantom or a blue phantom or a red phantom.
Well, again, you're just like Jason. Why you gotta start putting labels on it? Just they're phantoms, okay?
Well, so here's the differences.
Both y'all racist.
Red phantoms invade. Blue phantoms protect. White phantoms are just any phantom. So, like, if you want to help somebody set down your summon side, then you're a white phantom. The gold phantoms, which is what I am, or the yellow phantoms, you're specifically got, you can stay in their world longer.
Oh, that's cool.
And you got a special sign, so your sign glows a lot brighter and is easier seen. So if people see my sign, they will summon me. Then I can go fight a boss with them.
So what I'm hearing is, you're flaming. Maybe you should put your pusher on grinder.
But so anyways, it's cool because you learn the praise the sun gesture, and that's how I open every time I get summoned in. Praise the sun. All right, I'm ready to fight some bosses.
Okay, now if you get summoned in, can they kill you while you're being summoned? Because nope. That would suck. You come here like, oh, and also you just got Hubbard going to you like, oh hell, I just died.
You're immune to their damage, but they That's can be funny. Invaded by other people, so That's I've funny. Been getting summoned sometimes to help other people with invaders. So they get invaded, then I'm getting summoned, and then I just help them destroy whoever it is, and that's why I've been getting a lot of my other PvP battles. And I'm getting pretty good at it. I feel really confident. Hate you. I feel really confident. And
so
I got
do they come to your home, do they like hire bounty hunters just to come find you and kill you because they hate you?
No, they can't. They go, I'm less likely to be bountied. But the nice thing is I've been figuring out a lot about dual wielding, and so I have a parrying dagger on top of a large two-handed sword that I can now one-hand.
Well, that's really cool.
So I got the Drainlink sword, which is one of the first ones you can get in the game after, like, the second boss. And I've buffed the crap out of that, and then I found a parrying dagger. And what the parrying dagger does, it gives you a bigger window opening, or bigger opening to parry. So as soon as I hear, even if they're in mid-swing, yeah. I hit my parrying dagger with my L2, it'll knock them off balance. I can do a power attack. With a Drainlink sword, I can power attack and kill most people at my level in one hit. So there's that. Or if they let their guard down even once, I can do the power attack and a power sweep, and that will kill them too. So like I'm just like winning PvP battles left and right.
Well, no, I knew about the rocks. That's what my two-handed weapon is. But I'm just trying to find out where you.
And like I just sent you what you
yeah,
need.
I'm looking. It's but, magic. And
but with the dual wielding, I use the dual wielding to get. I use it specifically for the parrying dagger or the scimitar gut because it's also good for parrying.
See, basically, what you're doing with your boss souls is just ascending the weapons or modifying.
Because, see, what I did is I made my Zwielacker. It's a +5 and it's raw.
That's actually one of the best two handers.
Yeah. So it does 300 points of damage as base, you know what I'm saying? But I was trying to do the lightning spear, and I got to +10, and I hit do it, but then it took the lightning off and made it just the spear. So I'm like, well, that sucks.
Well, it ascended it to a new weapon. and then you gotta reascend it. It'll be a more powerful weapon. It's just 10 levels up.
Again, it's just, I've got to get better. I've got to, when I'm running in, and I get behind him, I have a really bad problem of attacking and not moving the camera angle. So
what you need to do is just pick your two weapons, pick your shield.
Well, I use a shield, and I've got the Dragon Crest shield, because it helps out with the magic on it. And I got the Zwielacker. I use that, so when I run in there, and it's when I go to hit him because I'm running fast, I just hit the button really quick and make it two-handed, and I'm like, hi-ya! So
there's a lot, I'm not going to say it that way, I was about to say I do a lot of two-handing action, but...
I know you do.
We've known you double-fist it for a long time.
But anyway, so I just got to get my depth perception down, and then I'll be okay.
That's my only problem. Well, if you have a depth perception issue...
I just got to swing.
A lot of people think it's cheating, but just up your brightness, it'll help.
I just got to get the camera swung around fast enough. That's my only problem.
Well, the one thing I will say, like, even after all the dual wielding and everything else, I've been experimenting with that, but the paladins get some really amazing spells.
That's cool.
And so you got to equip an item to cast a spell, but I got lightning spears. A lightning spear is basically he forms a spear or like a javelin of lightning,
and then Zeus,
and then he tosses it.
No, I've seen this,
and it is powerful as hell.
I've seen people like fucking destroy.
You can destroy a lot of stuff with lightning spears.
Oh shit!
There's also another one called like heavenly. Is it? It's not heavenly wrath. That's another one, but that's like a big old bubble of energy that you shoot out of you. But the other one is like heavenly storm, and it is a lightning storm that you summon around you, and people are trying to PvP you. It just screws them up. It is so amazing.
The lightning spear, it's every single one of the PvP videos that I've seen for Dark Souls includes the lightning spear, or the thing that will turn you into like a statue.
Yeah, that's a ring.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a ring that'll turn you into a statue. That's funny though. So you move your camera, the statue moves. So like it's pretty obvious when people do that.
Right, but
and then I just aim my crossbow at him, or I aim my lightning spear at him and shoot him. So
right, but it works every so often.
Yeah, right, I see people those guys are like hiding.
People just think that you're a statue and go on.
Well if you I also go have to a couple places that have other statues there, so you can get in between one of the statues and then turn that ring on. Yeah,
but there's also another ring that I'm working on getting right now that'll also make bosses attack you. So it turns their eyes red, which is really cool. But it's like an aggro ring. So if you go into a boss battle with, you know, with whoever's summoning you, you get this ring, turns your eyes red, and you just hit the boss a couple times, and they will focus you the entire time, so the person you're helping can go back and DPS crap out of it, which is really cool. So you can basically just be a tank for everybody. Yeah.
That's cool.
So I'm making a really tanky-ass paladin with some really badass offensive stuff.
Interesting. So once I beat Dark Souls, then Trent's going to borrow his copy for 360, and then I'm going to play
It's such a good game.
Yeah, I know. I really want to play it. But,
it's so much depth to the combat. Like, there's so many different things you can do. It's just the possibilities are limitless.
I like the backstab, the new backstab animation.
It's cool. More of just like a...
backslash.
It is a rear assault.
Yeah. Is that what you do when you do your two-handed action?
Yes.
You kick him in the back of the leg, and then...
Uses his two-hander to rear assault.
No, that's right.
Yeah, it feels
all right. So that's all I've been doing, so I just got to get that stuff done. But I'm more focused on getting ready for getting more all the overtime I can in, and then getting ready to go on that vacation. So
that vacation sounds awesome.
Oh, it is. I'm excited. I'll have to drive again. It's like Christmas all over again when we went up there last time. I don't have to drive, and I love it.
Your wife's driving?
No, everyone else drives. I don't like driving long distances. I hate it.
So it's my
brother-in-law, my sister-in-law, my wife, and their oldest son's 18 now.
I have such a hard time not driving when I'm in a car for a long time.
I do.
I don't. This is what I do right here. Watch. You ready? This is my technique. You ready? Watch. It's very hard. No, because that gives you a neck cramp. That gives you a neck cramp. You ready? Watch this. You get the pillow and you just go.
Look at that.
That's how you stay not driving. And then you know what happens when you do that? It's you get really good, and they go, hey, we've stopped. We're going to eat. All right, let's go eat. Done. Greatest move ever. You're either at Cracker Barrel, or you're at the greatest restaurant alive. Bob Evans. Shoney's is a once in a while, but Bob Evans. I love Bob Evans.
I miss Shoney's.
But if you go to Bob Evans, and you're not from the North, you have to make sure you tell them you want biscuits with white gravy because up north it's only brown gravy. And I made that mistake. And my wife told the waitress, she goes, hey, remember, this is north. You have to say white gravy. I'm like, oh my gosh, she goes, I took care of it. This is 2 years ago in Christmas. She goes, I took care of it. But you got to remember, you got to say white gravy.
Yeah, you don't get
you do. Gravy. If you don't, you get these. And I tell you, my wife got biscuits and gravy. And it is the most ungodly looking abomination ever. Because it's like, is there turkey or anything? Because I'm from Oklahoma. Brown gravy is turkey. It's not biscuits and gravy. No, no, no. No, it's like if you go to the South, you have to tell them if you're from the North, I want unsweetened tea, and they'll look at you and laugh. But yeah, when you go up North, you got to make sure you specify white gravy, because if not, it's all brown.
Yep.
Just like in the South, when you say unsweetened, it's all sweet.
And forget getting sweet tea up there.
But their food's so amazing. But it's funny, though, because like Bob Evans right? mocks you, because a lot of Bob Evans is like, in the distance, you can see the Shoney's, and I'm like, man, I really want that buffet. But you're at Bob Evans, and it's really great. So that's what I'm looking forward to.
I've never been to a Bob Evans.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
I always saw their mashed potatoes and stuff or their food in the supermarket, but when you actually go to the restaurant, it's a really good restaurant. It's like the IHOP, but better.
Yeah, I can see that.
That's what I'm saying, because you walk in.
IHOP's turned kind of plastic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I enjoy it. Again, they have really good coffee. Yeah. I don't know what coffee they use, but their coffee is very delicious. That was my big selling point. And Bob Evans was like, I'm going to try your coffee. And it was delicious.
Yeah.
So
you talk about it like it's a person.
Bob Evans is a person. He made the stuff. His name was Bob Evans.
I get that, but it's just the context of how you're saying this.
You have to refer to it properly.
Oh, jeez.
Anyways, so that's all I
said Bob Evans.
That's all I've been doing. So, Justin, what have you been doing?
Transition.
Nice.
Jeez,
yeah,
that's what I do.
Just take it over.
I took too much time up with
just
my
Just take
time.
It over.
That's what I do.
So, I already talked about Dark Souls. Play a lot of that.
Dark Souls.
I want to play it.
Dark Souls.
It's pretty good.
I got to beat the first one,
though. I really like it on PC. I kind of abandoned it on Xbox to play some other things because I was waiting for PC.
And I thank you for it.
And I also figured they'd give Rusty or Jason a chance to play it. It's
Jason, mostly.
So, and it's good. It's hard, but it's good. And it's...
Any good game is hard.
But, not necessarily. Well, in my case, I usually like a board.
You are on fire tonight!
Dude, so, how many times do you go to the Majestic a week? I'm curious now.
Actually, I got a story about that.
He's coming out on the show.
It's like,
the highest paying shows that I ever played is a band Wrath Majestic. Not gonna lie. So I really went like heels digging into the ground. So the context. Majestic is the biggest gay bar in town. Like huge gay bar. Like probably one of the biggest bars in town. I mean, it's a club, but it's two story. It's fucking huge. And
they have a big ass stage in there.
They have a really big stage. It's like Kane's big. It's a big stage. And so one time ago, a buddy of mine doesn't tell me. My buddy Rob of the Gems. He needed his bass player lives a mile, or this is way back when, so 10 years ago. His bass player lives an hour and a half away, Muskogee. And he couldn't make it to one of the shows. He's like, hey, I got this show that just came up, and Rob played drums in my band, but he also had this other band that he played drums in. He's like, I need you to fill in on bass. I was like, I haven't really played a lot of your songs. He's like, you can just ad-lib. And so...
Bass is easy to ad-lib.
Their songs weren't easy to ad-lib. But even being a punk band, they had a pretty good bass player. So, like, I knew 6 or 7 of their, like, 15 or 18 songs they were playing at the time. And so I basically just had to follow the rhythm guitar. But anyways, long story short, I didn't know I was playing the Majestic, so we go across the street to the regular bar, Kaz's, and I'm not going to go through the whole story. But, anyways, they pay us. I find out there's a person that told him they were going to pay him $1,000 to play his birthday party. Her birthday party. We found out later it was a dude. And I was like, dude, I can't remember her name. Let's just call her Joanne. I was like, Joanne has a big-ass Adam's apple.
Whoa, can we just change the name of my wife's name? Can we just call her Sally?
Sally has a big
Thank
Adam's
you.
Apple. And
Sally.
I was like, but she has paid $1,000, so we'll go play on stage. And after we did that show, they got a little bit awkward at first. I'm a pretty straight dude. But I got a lot of gay friends, but I wasn't used to being on stage at a gay club. I played 4 other shows there. I didn't get paid $1,000, but... And this was $1,000 split between 4 guys. for 45 minutes worth of work, which is fucking amazing. I played there with my band and made easy $500. Played there with his band again, made like $700. My band again made like $600-700.
Damn, that's some good money.
And these were like 4 or 5 shows. Like, just, you know, it'd be like, hey, I wonder if Jessica lets us play again. And let us play it again, and then we made money.
Right.
And then on top of that, free beer. So, like, it wasn't that bad of an experience, to be honest with you. I was like, this is the best playing or best paying place in town.
That's because nobody else wants to play at a gay bar. That's...
I think that sucks.
Well, it would have sucked if they did, because you wouldn't have made as much money as right? you did.
Well...
I think that kind of sucks.
It's stereotypical. It's basically what it is.
Well, we're in a Bible thumping town, so I mean, that's true. Kind of part of it.
Yeah. It is stereotypical, but also Majestic has the stigma, especially for a lot of bands, because they do the regular drag shows.
Mm. I went to a drag show with a buddy of mine.
And, well, I'm just saying it adds a stigma to it for a lot of bands.
That's,
you know,
the difference between being secure and being insecure.
Well, I guess I'm just extremely secure. Yeah. But aside from putting my picture on Grindr because I didn't want to take that next step.
You just might as well. Didn't. It's not like you put your phone number. You know what you do is what you do. Steve-O doesn't listen to this, does he?
Yeah, sometimes, he does. Yeah.
So, oh, we won't listen to this one. You put someone else's phone number down that's not one of your friends, like someone you don't really like.
Delete my phone number from your fucking shit.
And you know who I should do it to? Just because it would just freak him. No, it'd like ruin his marriage. I was going to say Daniel Harris.
Don't do it. You can put down anybody else's phone number. That would have been funny. You can put down anybody else's phone number that you're not happy with right now at this current moment. And then just put your picture on there and just let them call the number.
Oh, that'd be cruel. But anyways, yeah, I mean, it made a lot of money.
This guy says overpowering in 11 minutes on Dark Souls, and he's already killed the demon with...
So speaking of that, like, I was watching some speedrun videos, because I've made it almost to the end. Like, it wasn't going to spoil it for me, because, hey, I watch spoiler videos all the time on that game to figure out how to beat them. But there was a guy that beat the entire game. Now, he didn't do all the bosses, but he beat the entire game. So, like, if you hit 1 million souls total... Yeah. You can unlock the last boss, run. If you've played that much. So he acquired 1 million souls by doing some of the bosses on New Game Plus 7.
Yeah.
He beat one boss 7 times inside of like 12 minutes.
Wow.
And it netted him like 800,000 souls or something crazy like that. And it's not a real, real hard boss. It's called the Iron King. Once you figure it out, it's actually fairly easy. But so a guy beat the entire game in like an hour and a half.
Wow.
Speedrunning, and it was legit speedrun. I was watching, he died one time, not on the final boss, but on the third to the last boss, because the third to the last boss is pretty damn hard. But like, you make one mistake and you're screwed.
Yeah,
but he did the entire thing naked with a club.
He beat the game
with like a plus 10 club.
With a club.
Awesome.
Did he beat the four kings with a plus 10 club?
No, Dark Souls 2.
Oh.
But and then I watched, most of it was with the club. There's a boss where you fight 3 at one time, which is fairly difficult.
Mm-hmm.
He did dual-wielding maces. So he bought 2 basic maces and upped them to, like, plus 5.
Mm-hmm.
Dual-wielded those suckers and went up against this boss and just, like, beat the snot out of him. Like, just dodge-rolling like a ninja. And I'm watching him go in against this boss who's, like, these 3 protectors, and they have, like, this huge area of effect with their weapons. They do this big spin attack and...
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's 3 of them. So you got to keep track of 3 enemies. He'd go up against one, down in, like, 12 seconds. Go into another. He did the whole boss fight in a minute. And I was just like, this is insane.
How is he down him in 12 seconds? Just the
doing a bunch of damage.
Yeah, because the two-hand, like, dual-wielding does so much damage because you get, like, an extra attack on top of it.
Oh, yeah. So he had 2 plus 10 clubs?
So, like, 2 plus 5, like, maces, but he also had a two-handed, like, big-ass club. And he was using, but for the first part of the game, he's using basic equipment for several bosses. And just not like he would beat a boss, then go back and spin the boss souls and level up. But he would do those things where he'd spin his souls while he was opening doors. So he knew he had a frame of animation that he couldn't get past. So he'd start spinning souls while he was waiting on something to happen. Wow. Like super efficient. And I was just like, this is insane. Then I watched another video. A guy beats it in all optional bosses, in 3 hours and 15 minutes.
Jeez.
Died several times, actually. But... was just like,
but running. Still the fact that he powered through them that quickly.
Oh, sorry. And he did it with, I don't remember if they had hexes in the old game, I don't think they did, but the hexes spin souls. So it's like this big, like, it looks like smoke magic or something crazy like that. You shoot this big, like, cloud at things, and then it hits them for, like, 900. One of the attacks does, like, 1,500 damage from one hit, but it spends 500 souls a shot.
Oh, wow.
So, but he had so many souls because he wasn't spending them. Like, when he was at the last boss, he had, like, 800,000 souls.
Oh, well. So he was just firing the fuckers off.
He's just spinning them, just shooting it. Spending them, yes.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so, like, so there's some amazing stuff out there, some pretty hardcore players. And this guy was on, like, I want to say that there was one boss that he was doing for the extra souls that up the bonfire, because you can go to a bonfire in an area, and you spin this bonfire aesthetic, and what that does is it respawns all loot in the area, plus it respawns the boss. So you use that, and you can do it up to plus 7. So, like, a plus 8 game, basically. I was actually watching a soul farming video on that on Iron King. You can do him fairly easy on all levels as long as you avoid the damage. But and then like every kill with like the Covetous Ring nets you like 420,000 souls super fast. But anyways, enough about Dark Souls. That game's freaking awesome. It's really just boss killer, the video game. Once you get down how to do it and you're okay with dying occasionally and getting used to it, it's really fun to just like upgrade stuff and feel like a badass. Like that game, once you really start getting good at it, makes you feel like a badass.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, I'm never going to be good at that game.
But I played that, played a lot more FTO. I played the new one.
Yeah, you like the changes?
Yeah, I got the ship that has the guys that suck oxygen out of their room.
The fucking crystal ship? Yeah.
Yeah, I got the crystal ship, I got a slug ship, and I got a... I can't remember what ship I got. I think it's just those two for right now.
I keep forgetting if I can put that, or I have to update my laptop version of that game to the new update.
Yeah, it's free DLC.
Right, but I keep forgetting to log into my Steam at home because I can't update that stuff at the college
school, yeah.
Because of the poor stupid firewall. But I've been playing, you know. When I get downtime at school, I play FTL, and got a couple people actually playing that game too now.
That game is pretty good.
It's a good way to waste like an hour or so.
Yeah, so I played a little bit of that. I didn't play any ESO because you know my ESO buddy's not playing right now.
Right.
Sorry
about that.
That's okay. So
just have to write a 10-page paper.
I understand. I'll get back into that at some point. Me and Rusty will talk it to death.
Oh, fuck yeah, we will.
But more so than that, I did play some other games, and I played a lot more of Heroes of the Storm.
Nice.
I got the alpha invite. I was double-checking what I could talk about. Apparently, I can talk about pretty much anything I want. It's being streamed on Twitch.
Okay.
And
I hate you a little, but that's cool.
Well, Matt doesn't have it, but Matt's wife, Matt that's on the show, has it. So he logged into her account, and me and him played that for like 7 hours yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are going to hate on me for saying this because they like Blizzard so much, but it's like a dumbed-down version of Dota. Here's what I mean by that. The upgrade path is only for skills only. There's no itemization that you have to do.
Okay.
There's no last hits. Everybody gets XP equally throughout your team.
Okay.
There's extra XP awarded for killing other players, so you get that.
Okay.
But everybody on the team is at a balanced level as you go through the level.
So there is no situation where you can have one like level 9 and another level 15s and stuff like that.
Right.
Like you can have in Dota. That's interesting.
The lanes are laid out horizontally. Instead of diagonally?
I kind of figured that was going to be the case, though.
Which is different?
It is a little bit different. I mean, but if you've ever played Nexus Wars, they're running off of that idea.
What's Nexus Wars?
It's a fan-made game for StarCraft II using the StarCraft II engine.
Oh, okay.
But it is two different lanes. And four players on each side, and you send units down the lanes, and it's basically a mob war between the two.
And that could have been, like, there are some different things about this. Like, currently there's four different game modes, and it varies depending on the map.
Mm-hmm.
So game mode A was you basically control 2 points, and then when you control these 2 points, you summon a dragon, or a death knight, or whatever the hell he is. I guess he's a dragon. And he starts, like, going through a lane, just, like, plowing through everything, and he's fairly hard to kill. But you got to control those points. There's one point on your side, like, on the bottom, if you're left, it'll be on your bottom left, and there's one on the top right. So you have to control both points, and then you go to the middle of the map and summon the dragon. And there's a middle lane on that one. Like, this one is a 3-lane map, but there's only 2 3-lane maps. So on that one, that's what the objective is. You still want to destroy creep. There's still castles to kill and things like that. Or I say castles. They're like little villages. Instead of just a tower, it is a gate and 2 towers, and then a central area with a mana well and an additional, like, base that shoots at you that spawns creep.
Okay.
Which is a little different. They have another game mode where you have these... It's another 2-lane map, or a 2-lane map. There's these 2 haunted mines. And what you do is you get to, again, kind of the same positioning as the last one. Mm-hmm. You get to the... Mines open up like a minute into the game. So you can either farm the lane for XP, or you can go down to the mine and kill these little, like... Not goblins. What are those little things? Kobolds.
Mm-hmm.
Kill the kobolds. They drop skulls. I think they're kobolds. Mm-hmm. Anyways, you kill these guys, they drop skulls, and then you collect so many souls. So I guess there's a total of like 100 skulls that can be captured.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes your construct more powerful. So after you do that, you go fight a boss monster down there, and you or the enemy team can, and he drops a crap load, like 20 skulls or something like that. So you're down there killing those guys while trying to avoid the enemy team, or killing the enemy team and griefing them while you're doing it. And then you summon your constructs. Both constructs summon, and then you have, depending on how many skulls you collected, is how powerful the construct is.
Mm-hmm.
How powerful his attacks are, and how powerful his health is. So, and that spawns, like, at different points. So depending on what time in the game you are, like, one will spawn, like, at the middle of the map. Both of them will spawn at about the middle of the map. Then they'll spawn at, like, close to the second tower. And then the last one will actually spawn almost on their base. So... That last push is important as hell because he's so powerful.
Mm-hmm.
He can take down their base in about a minute.
Yeah.
If you don't take him out. So depending on how powerful you were with, or how productive you were with the mine.
That kind of, it sounds kind of like if you've ever played the Battlegrounds and WoW. If you've ever, do you remember
like a Ultra Basin?
No, Ultrock Valley.
Yeah.
Ultrock Valley, the old Ultrock Valley, like. You know,
the 45-minute PvP game.
No. 45 minutes was a short Ultrak Valley back in the day.
I did PvP a lot. I was more PvE.
Ultrak Valley, the idea behind Ultrak Valley was to have a game that would last about a half an hour. But there's a lot of... let's see. Right. There was a lot of emphasis on not... PvP, but also doing PvE. So you would go and you would collect these things, do these little minor quests in the battleground, so that you can create a construct, which would then go down to the other person's or other team's base and assist in the push towards the other team's base. So I kind of see this as kind of a MOBA that takes that into account.
Sort of. Well, I was going to get to some of the other game modes, because there are some other things a little bit differently. There's one that curses.
Uh-huh.
So the curse mode, they will spawn these talismans on the map, and you got to collect 2 talismans to set up the curse.
Mm-hmm.
And so what you do is when they spawn, you go and you collect the talismans, like a right-click event. And once you right-click that, you get 2 talismans. Hold on.
Right?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So... Just so you know what Justin's chuckling about, my brother just sent me a meme. It is Will Ferrell says, before you marry a person, you should first make them use a computer with slow internet to see who they really are.
Right?
Truth.
But see, me when the internet goes down, I turn into a monster. But, so yeah, you get the 2 talismans, and what the curse does is it stops the enemy's towers from firing.
So have you ever found a monster under your bed? Like a can unopened? And were you friends with it?
No. So, what happens is it curses, and then the enemy towers stop fighting, and I think the enemy mobs are weaker.
Hmm.
So, that's one of the effects. But, I mean, like I said, you don't have to do that, but it gives you a considerable advantage if somebody does. You still got to go to the middle of the map to activate it. It's the same thing you do with the dragon.
The last map, though, which I thought was the most interesting, was like Buccaneer Bay or something like that. And it's this big, like, pirate ship, basically, or this map that's like all made out of like wood planks.
Right.
As you're going along, you kill when you kill mercenary caps, they drop gold. When you kill enemy players, they drop gold. And what you do is like the first time you gotta go to the middle of the map, turn in gold, and then they will target the first camp and fire on it. So there is a pirate ship in the middle that fires its cannons and will destroy like two of the towers in the middle of the camp. And then you do that again, and it's like 15 or 12 gold, then 15 gold, then like I want to say 20 gold, something like that. But then it does that throughout the game. You gotta collect gold while you're in the middle of the game to do that. Now, keep in mind, with all these modes, they all have different mercenary camps that you can rescue. And what the mercenary camp does is, instead of just jungling for gold, you jungle to go kill the mercenary camps. And the mercenary camps adds an extra, more powerful creep wave. And a lot of them do range attacks to where they can knock down a tower without getting a hit. So if they don't pay attention to what mercenary camps have been, you know, let go, then they could potentially have a creep push all the way through a base or all the way through two bases if they're not paying attention. So, but like I said, the things that are really different, though, is not having the upgrade path. Like, you have different skills you can pick and different ultimates you can pick and things like that, depending on how you're playing the character. But it's all about, like, managing that map. Like, if you have a five-player team that knew what they were doing, which we ran into a few times, I think the game gets pretty damn hard. There's also quests for your character that will unlock different abilities depending on who you're playing. The things that I did not like, though, the shop's pretty damn expensive. Now, they've said that they'll refund all money as credits if you spend any on the alpha. They just want to test out the shop. And then you can unlock characters. So, in my time, I unlocked about 5,000 gold in about 7 hours. That's enough to buy, like, one of the basic characters. More higher characters are, like, 10,000 gold. So you can unlock it with that method, and they do a rotational swap like they do in League of Legends. But it's not just the skins like it is in Diablo.
And that's
so that part feels a little greedy.
I'm not digging that at all.
So I was unlocked a couple of characters with gold.
Well, you know, I've had some problems with Blizzard in the past with money grabs and different things, and you know, and I understand they need to make money. You know, and the development cycle for, you know, for games like this is generally, this is going to be free to play.
Yeah.
So, they have to make some kind of money off of it. I get that. But I've not liked the payment structure for League of Legends. I didn't like, you know, and the only reason why I even bought into Diablo, or not Diablo, Dota, is because, you know, you don't have to buy any of the characters.
Yeah, everything's unlocked right out the gate.
You have the characters, you can play the full, you know, full version of the game. You just make your character look more badass if you put money into it. You know, or time, depending on however you look at it.
Out the gate, I think it was 8 characters that were unlocked, which is very comparable to League. But the characters range in price from like $250 to $10.
Yeah, no, I would never do it. You know, the reason is I'm going to run into a situation where I like a character, but I'm going to end up having to spend $10 on it.
Yeah.
You know, whereas I would like to be able to play, you know, play the fucking character, you know?
Right.
I don't have to pay for it. If it's a free-to-play game, I don't want to have to, you know, pay to unlock.
You can still earn it with the in-game gold.
Right, but
I will say the in-game gold is a little bit faster than League, because League is painfully slow to unlock anything. Because they give you gold when you win and when you lose. But it's like when you achieve a new level or something like that, you'll get gold. So like I'm level 10, I think, on my character in Heroes of the Storm. On my account or whatever.
Okay.
Which, like I said, that'll unlock... The higher level I am will unlock extra traits for different characters and things like that. But like I've liked the characters I've played so far. Played Tassadar. Tassadar was really cool.
Right.
Tassadar is very much a... what are the Protoss casters called? I forgot.
Templars?
Yeah, very much Dark Templar. So, I had two different ultimates. One was to drop the little, like, glowing things that would, like, keep you from progressing. And I could drop those as one of my ultimates to hold back an enemy team or creep wave or whatever. Or I could just turn into a Dark Templar with an extra shield and laser beams which is usually what I opted for. His other abilities were shield, a cloak, and then a damage over time area of effect spell, and then he was also ranged. And then he got a lot more powerful as I got along. I was playing him offensively, like with a little bit of defense,
mm-hmm.
and everything I was doing was buffing attack and things like that. So I pretty much played him as a kind of support class offensive guy, and people completely always underestimated me, so I figured I was support.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, oh no, I'm just throwing down this damage debuff, or I'm going to attack you, or I'm going to shoot laser beams and just take out your structure.
Mm-hmm.
So like I have gotten the best amount of kills out of that guy. The other one that I've done really well with was also another support character. It's kind of Luna from Dota. She's got star shards, which fuck, let's just say area of effect, like star shards.
So you've got a night elf.
You've got a night elf. It's got a healing ability.
Sorry.
Yeah. She's got a healing ability. She also, when she shoots her bow, if I'm attacking something, anybody that attacks it like in the next second also gets a little bit of healing. So I can buff that ability for attacking other players, and then somebody can stay alive while I sit back and support while killing.
Mm-hmm.
She's got a stun, and then she's got like the Windrunner thing, like shoots the long arrow for a long distance, and then it illuminates, also does damage to the enemy. So she's got some decent abilities, but like her ultimate were two things, like cloak the whole team by you or cast star shards. I was like, fuck it, I'm casting star shards.
Mm-hmm.
So I did fairly good with her. I really, 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 really suck with Tychus. Tychus has a minigun that has to wind up, and he does pretty good damage, but he's also very tanky.
Mm.
So I thought he'd be more DPS than he was, and I just kind of suck with him.
Oh.
Raynor's cool. Raynor has two things. He can call down the choppers or whatever they're called. I can't remember what they're called. Or he can call down a starship, like a battlecruiser. Calls down the battlecruiser, and it just is a moving area of effect of lasers.
Nice. Just...
yeah, just kind of scoots across.
Nice.
But, and he's got some really cool, like, actual abilities aside from that. He's got, like, a shot that knocks people back. He's got one that it heals everybody in the radius around you, plus does a quick buff to your attack speed. And then I think the other one is he can, when he right-clicks, he does a puncturing shot, and he left-clicks, he does a more damaging shot.
Interesting.
So.
Yeah, but it's an alpha, so, I mean, all the things that you see that kind of feel wonky, like Tychus, you'll probably see those.
Oh, they'll change. Like I said, I didn't expect to get an alpha. I just had submitted. I actually resubmitted my specs or whatever again to try to get into that beta or the alpha, and then I finally got it.
I'll have to submit it. I'll give it a try, but
if you get in, it's pretty limited right now. Like matches are taking me about 4 or 5 minutes to get in sometimes.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, so far, I mean, I've been enjoying it. Like I say, I think the pain model's a little bit goofy, but comparable to like League of Legends, and if you play a lot of League, it's not gonna bother you.
But then again, it's an alpha, and stuff about the pay model can change. So,
based on feedback, I thought about putting something in the forums about the pay model. Yeah. But like I said, it's very much the actual fun I had with that. I found myself fairly addicted, and getting mad into a MOBA was entertaining as hell.
Right?
Like, I'd imagine.
But so, other things,
else?
Played a shitload more of Wasteland 2.
Oh, of course.
That's what happened.
Boy.
Opened up a new area. I don't know if I mentioned on the last show, but they have guys that are suiciders.
Yes.
That will blow themselves up, which is pretty funny.
Yes, the nuclear.
Yeah.
Suicide bombers.
Nuclear.
Yeah, they're like monks of the something or other, but essentially they're suicide bombers, and so if they like blow themselves up, it blows up a really large area. Everybody's immensely radiated, and then you usually have one or two people that need to be revived right away. Like, it's really intense.
So, basically, put a bullet between their eyes before they get close?
Yeah, and sometimes they'll just go ahead and kill themselves while you're shooting them. So if you do that, like, they have a pretty big... they have nuke grenades, and the nuke grenade will cover a good quarter of whatever map you are.
Huh.
So, which does a crap load of damage.
Nice.
You need to get your snipers on point when you see one of those, like, immediately. And if you can kill them fast enough with your snipers, then it is, like, mostly game over for the other team. But then you've committed a crime against the monks of the whatever order they are, and then you got to pay tribute. And
you lose your guide.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Terrible.
But they've intentionally, like, I've gotten to the end of the demo again. So, like, I found the end of the demo the first time was you got to this prison area, and there was just two huge guns that would just eradicate you. No way around it. I found guides of people, like, arming everybody with rocket launchers, and then getting the two guns knocked down because you only have one turn of combat to kill them.
And then can't open the door.
And then you can't open the door, which sucks. And this one, like, I got to the end of the tribute level and I needed to collect so many things of, like, radioactive something or other. And in order to progress through the level to get to the next area, well, I followed the map to the next area and then just, I got irradiated and died. Like, there is no next area. So I kind of figured that out the hard way, that this was the end. Like, a lot of the way that they've been controlling it is just controlling the quest line to where it's like, oh, there ain't nothing else you can do. So, but yeah, it's...
There's no pop-up that says, and you're done. No,
yeah, there is no pop-up.
Your character dies.
You're dead. You're just like, okay.
It's kind of like me playing tabletop, and I don't want to do this anymore. So your character just, like, got into a car wreck and died.
I got a... Yeah. So I'm going to try to go whip through this pretty quick. I did play tabletop.
Where? Who?
So, it was Matt's birthday.
Okay.
I'm going to say happy birthday, Matt.
Happy birthday, Matt.
Happy birthday, Matt.
And on Saturday, we played a tabletop game. Me and my friend David Peters, who came all the way from Alaska.
Peters came down.
Yeah, he came all the way from Alaska. And then we played, and then my friend Dave, who set up the game. And then Matt and his wife, we all played. And so long story short, what Dave did, the GM, he rolled, like, I want to say 20 characters. Like, pre-rolled them all, made artwork for them all. Like, set pre-stats, got their inventory ready, and you roll a 20-sider, and you roll the 20-sider, and that's what character you got. So, that was how we started the game. He, like, only had, like, three clerics rolled, and we ended up with two of the three, like, right off the bat, which was kind of funny. I ended up with a rogue. And the way that we progressed through the game is he set up a series of encounters really quick, so he gave us a quick backstory, and then just went into encounter land, like, immediately, so that we'd have something to do. Like, there wasn't a lot of story progression, because... what's the point if you're going to game for one day all day?
Right.
So he immediately set us up with, like, boss encounters, essentially, and loot and stuff like that. And that was really fun. He had some really interesting ways of, like I said, it's not D&D, but it was kind of based on D&D's skills. And so, like, we all ended up killing off a couple of our characters. My character died.
Of course.
Trying to save Peters, because he was trying to tear a crossbow trap off the wall to use it as a crossbow in real life. He kept filling his strength check to pull it off the wall, so we were in there for like six rounds while he's getting attacked by a boss, and I'm trying to protect him with my rogue. And I died shortly after that, because I got infected and died from some poison from energy. But then we played immediately, like, I was rolling like crap. I don't know what my deal was. Like, I either had like two critical successes, and then all the rest were whiffs. My critical successes were always called shots, too, which is crazy.
Did he use any custom feeds, or were they just all out of the book?
No, this is all his rules.
All his rules.
Yeah. But, yeah, like, I mean, so to put it, the way the combat
works. Because you were playing, which one were you playing?
What?
On the tabletop. What was the one you were playing?
I can't remember what he calls it. It's a custom game. Like, it's not D&D, but it's the same way you'd play D&D, essentially. Like, the way that...
Like Pathfinder?
No,
that's what I was thinking. He said was Pathfinder.
No, it's nothing so, like that. Like, he literally rolled this from scratch.
So when you leveled up, did you get to pick your own feats or no?
He had some preset skills you could pick from, so it'd either be skill.
Well, you get feats though, but did you get to get any feats or would you just play until you were dead?
That's what you're not getting. It's not that system at all.
Yeah,
it's a custom system.
That blows.
Well, so, I mean, if you're playing quick and dirty games, you know you're not going to want to get too in depth with that. Yeah. So
he had a set of skills that you could pick from that he created.
You don't just want to die at D&D. You want to get leveled up and get to the money.
But we did level up. Like, after every encounter, we'd level up. But it was like three things. You could level up your health. You could level up your one of your skills. Or you could level up one of your...
Ooh, that's a janky, dude. Every time you level, you should always get health.
Right. Not always, because some of the skills were good. So, like, I had knockout was one of my skills, the rogue. That was immediately one of the things I picked.
So his skills were the feats, then?
I guess. I've never played actual D&D.
Yeah, because in D&D, every time you level, you get your health up, you get so many skill points, and then you get, after so many levels, you get feats.
So, anyways, it's not D&D. but it plays a lot like a D&D game would, or at least I imagine. I've never actually played D&D. I've always played...
So it's just distant. It's not... Okay, so it's not D&D. Okay.
Okay.
But it's not restricted in that same way.
Okay.
So the way that we do combat is just two tents, and then you got whatever it is. So, like, if I had... Like, my rogue had thrown axes, which is the thing I kept using a lot because I could retrieve them. It would be my dex at 7, plus my thrown axe skill at 2, and then I'd have to roll a 9 or less, but with two 10-siders. So if I could roll that, then I'd make my roll, and then I'd do it. Then it was like 1d4 plus 1 plus a modifier to axes or something like that, which is another 1d4 plus like 3, which could do decent damage, except all of his boss characters had like 50 health or something crazy.
You know, after not playing D&D forever and playing chiefly White Wolf...
1d4?
I'm...
The fuck is a d4?
Yeah. They're simpler combat systems.
Yeah.
But it all varied based on what it was. So, like, I immediately re-rolled again because I died from sickness. I didn't realize that I was infected with some kind of, like, banshee plague. But anyways, I died, and then I... So he comes up with an assessment. He's like, okay, and then one of the inventory items we had was, like, some gems. And one of the gems rattles. We broke open the gem. That's my character. Woohoo, I'm back in the game. So, I mean, you know, within 5 minutes, he got me back in the game that way.
It's easy.
And so, pull up another character. I get a Templar. The Templar has prayers of, like, healing or buffs or things like that, but also has a really badass pole arm. Pole arm, I just have to roll a 9 or less on my 10-siders. Again, it's 2 10-siders. But I have to roll a 10 and a 9 or less, but then my damage is 1d12, plus a strength bonus of 1d4. So I was doing a lot of one-hit cold shots to the face, so which was funny because my rogue, I never had a chance in hell. I don't know why. I just never hit anything. And then I get this new character, and like it's game over every single encounter. It's like, and you and Claire, this faceless whatever, and then I roll my damage, and it's like, why did you hit that for like 12 damage, like right off the bat? It's like, it's just, yeah, it's going to keep erasing faces. So, but yeah, we had a lot of fun. Like at the end, it's like, Matt's wife was like, all right, I got to go to bed at some point. 10 hours later, and I'm just like, okay, that's cool.
See, those are the quick and dirty type games that, you know, they're a lot of fun. Those types of games are a lot of fun, but sometimes you want to have a little bit more of the backstory. And so that's where I think Earl's like,
I'm trying to figure out how you do that, because, man, you should always get health when you level up.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's one
I think we got one health when we leveled up, or you could roll, like, a d4. It was based on your...
Ooh, you got rogue hit points, boy. D4 hit points.
Oh,
man.
No, you got mage
like, come
hit
on,
points.
Oh, there's a one. I suck.
Mage hit points. So just like having a freaking old-school mage.
Well,
so
you
like
should Matt, always...
Like,
should
Matt's
always
character had, that. Like, 9 hit points to start, because he had to reroll and he got a mage. He had like 9 hit points. Which
9?
Meant, yeah, which meant he always stayed in the back.
Level 1 mage starts with 1d4 plus 1.
Some of the greatest D&D campaigns we ever did was we would take exactly what was out of the book, we'd roll the dice, and then we would have like one that went on for like 6 months. We did one where we did it, and you rolled your... Because no one ever rolls your height and your weight out of it.
Mm-hmm.
You just picked it. We had to do it, but we all started off level 1, and we were all orphans on the street. We had to do stuff. So like my brother played a female character, and she became like a waitress, and then at a bar or a tavern or whatever. And then one of my friends happened to get the really athletic one, so he was a traveling adventure companion, so he would go in and basically loot the dead, and he'd get that. My dude was pudgy and fat, and I had to get a beggar's license, but you'd be crippled. So I took a tree branch I found on the side of the road, and I went to the bathroom, and I broke my leg. I stole, and I had to go to court, and I was like, I need to go to the bathroom, and I went to break my leg. I almost killed myself. I went down to -9 hit points. So the judge is like, well, and I was like, the doctor said I wasn't supposed to stand. They're like, beggar's license. But I almost killed myself in the outhouse trying to get a beggar's license.
It's just like my very first D&D character got raped to death by a troll ogress.
Mm-hmm. D&D is amazing.
Well, I was going to say, the longer campaigns I did with this guy, like my friend Dave, he had a custom campaign that went on for about a year. But when I first was playing with him, and it was, I want to say... This is actually the first like medieval campaign I've done with him. Most of the time it's always been something futuristic, or like he had one that was called something Wasteland something or other, I don't know. But something that's kind of post-apocalyptic that we did for a while. You'd throw in like all sorts of custom enemies with that stuff. Like it'd either be like actual people that really fucked up that he had backstories to, or it would be, you know, some kind of weird mutant creature or whatever. But he made all these characters up, and he's also really good at art, so like half the time he'd have these like big like things that he'd drawn out of the week or while he was at work, basically.
just, you know, okay, so here's the backdrop for what you're doing now.
Right. It's the one fucking thing that I can't do is draw. So I have to describe an environment to my, you know, to my game group, so that they can get a good understanding. I think I'm fairly good at it.
Oh yeah.
but I come up with some interesting characters.
Tis the truth.
That's the thing. The unsung, you know, unsung heroes of any role playing group is the game master, because you are responsible for your character and playing your character, but that game master has to go through how many other characters. I was playing like freaking 10 different characters at one point. You know, just bad guys and, you know, and different set piece characters and shit like that. So, yeah, it's
some of the basic art.
So,
the fuck is coming out of their asses?
Wow, nice scorpion tail. So, anything else, or was that it for the week?
Let's say a little bit about Don't Starve, but I didn't play enough of it to really say much.
Just Don't Starve.
All right.
Random Giants is cool.
Right. Well, my week was pretty much crap of Call of Duty when I could fit it in.
Right.
And that was it. So, with that...
We're just going to...
Because we are running long right now at this point.
Huh. We are?
We'll go ahead, go break.
Holy dog shit.
And find some news,
and
get through it,
and
end the show.
So,
we'll be back in a moment. And we're back.
That was a funny one, Rusty.
Right?
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
So, news.
Yeah. What?
News. You had a piece.
Who's first? Me?
You.
Yes.
Me?
Go.
Oh.
Ooh. Like that. Oh, you're making that sound like that picture again.
I'm actually pulling it up still.
Oh, nice. All right. Oh, fine then. One piece of news was that the Dark Souls developer From Software has been purchased by a holdings company named Kodokawa.
So that's very Japanesey.
Yeah, they
not very easy to say.
No, not very easy at all. So, Kodokawa? It's just a holding company, or is it?
It's a holdings company. They own several businesses. Look like they're mostly Asian businesses from here.
So,
why can't they just be businesses again? You and your monikers.
I'm just saying it with names like.
Bob
Fujimi Shobo.
You don't know.
Wait a second.
You're just assuming.
So this company that holds a bunch of other companies is not going to have any say in how the games work. It's just hold on.
Well,
it,
they might be, because they do have their own game company.
What?
Kodokawa Shoten.
Oh, you know the great Kodokawa Shonen games. Come on.
No,
right? You've never played them? Oh, I thought you was a gamer, Rusty.
Yeah, right?
Oh, shit. Rusty. Justin, you played the Kodokawa video games, haven't you?
It's
the
same.
So lost.
Yeah.
All right. So games you might have heard of. It published Steins Gate, Lollipop Chainsaw.
Boom. Lollipop Chainsaw.
Killer is Dead.
Oh, so that's...
All you have to do is just say Lollipop Chainsaw.
Yeah, I was just looking at the Desk and Avery fan page.
Right?
They
directly developed Lunar and Lunar 2.
Wait, that's not Kodokawa. That's,
okay.
Demon Gaze.
Hold on.
I remember Lunar. That was a PlayStation game. Mm-hmm. PlayStation RPG. Not bad. Kind of long. Still have that game, actually.
Yeah.
Wait a second.
The original Lunar. I didn't play Lunar 2.
The video game divisions of Kodokawa Shoten are ASC2 Media Works. brain.
So this makes sense. So they were publishers on that. I'm thinking of Suda 51. That's the game that, or that and Grasshopper Manufacture, the ones that made like those other games that we're talking about.
The
Molotov Chainsaw, Killer is Dead.
Yeah.
There was that what was that other game that came out with the guy on the motorcycle? Holy shit, what is the name of that?
Ghost Rider?
No, it's not Ghost Rider. It's No More Heroes. That's not what I'm thinking of. Shadows of the Damned. Like, they got a pretty decent lineup. It's just really odd games. But,
well,
Shadows of the Damned is actually really fun.
When you look at the publishers and developers it absorbed to make the company, it's fairly fairly odd lineup anyway.
Yeah. So it looks like they do a lot of things. They're out of Fujima, and they do books, magazines, manga, and video games.
Yep.
Okay. But just as long as the game franchise is in good hands.
Yeah, they're not. But they're not a big game franchise company.
No,
like Killer is Dead and Lollipop Chainsaw are the only two that I really recognize in this.
And they weren't very great.
They were good. They were just not like...
kind of game.
They weren't like selling on a level like Minecraft or Call of Duty or something like that. Yeah. Like it is... Those are more... Not quite indie, but not quite mainstream. You know what I mean?
Ooh.
Yeah.
I just saw something that's coming to Tulsa. Oh, it has nothing to do with video games.
Okay.
It's called Costco.
What?
Mm-hmm.
They're bringing a Costco to
Tulsa to get his very first Costco right there, baby.
Does it say where?
Kill Sam's Club.
Have you snubbed it yet?
No.
Right? No. Yeah. They put in a petition into it.
By South Memorial Drive.
Memorial?
By South Memorial, over by East 103rd Road.
103rd Memorial?
Yeah, 103rd Memorial looks like...
Yep. That's not that far from here.
It's a bit of a drive.
I'm just letting you know what I saw.
A little bit.
That's just what it's showing. So.
Duh. Yeah.
I look on News on 6 and let me see the exact address.
Okay.
Yeah.
But
From Software's current boss is saying, basically the purchase of their company is going to, because they're not really changing From's structure, as so he's saying it will pretty much enhance game development. So you may see more improvements to Dark Souls 2 or, you know, creation of, like, Dark Souls 3.
Are we looking at cosplayers? Faster. Is that what we're doing?
No, he's talking about that, and I'm thinking, so I looked up a couple of memes that I found. So the hardest challenge run in Dark Souls, dual shield.
Oh, I saw that. Trent was showing me that.
Yeah.
Like, that's freaking awesome.
If they do nothing more than be able to provide them with a good financial base, then From Software will be able to expand further and make even greater games. And right now, I mean, Dark Souls 2 is pretty far up there in the ratings. You know,
there's been major magazines giving it like almost a perfect score.
Yeah,
Trent said that's going to be his number one game of all time for the year.
Well, it's right up there.
If Witcher wasn't releasing next year,
I know.
That's something awesome. But one of the things that, like, I was trying to figure out what games, like, I'm really more anticipating the most. Obviously, Wasteland 2 is probably my most anticipated game. I like that a lot. But that being said, like, Dark Souls 2 has been really good. You're going to have to quit distracting me here.
Oh, God.
Yeah, seriously, Earl.
I'm sorry. You want to see Cosplay? I'll just pull them up. Okay, I won't show you this one then. I'm sorry.
Oh, now I gotta
see it. I'll just show it to you.
God damn you.
Stop.
No.
Hey. Stop. Stop.
Okay, I put my phone down. Oh, look. The phone's dead. It's dead.
It's upside down.
But anyways, like I'm trying to think about what my game of the year is going to be. I know that I really don't know. I mean, there's some things that have been supposed to be released, have been pushed back, like Witcher 2 or Witcher 3. That's one of the ones I'm looking forward to the most.
Wolfenstein looks really good.
Wolfenstein looks good, but that's not going to be the kind of game that I'm going to vote a game of the year.
I'm just saying it looks good.
Here's my thing, and people should know this by now, they've listened to me long enough. It's almost never that a shooter makes my top five. And it's just because I've played a shitload of shooters. I know you're cringing over there. I'm an RPG guy. Dragon Age Inquisition looks pretty badass so far.
I can't wait for that game.
Like, that's another one that's out there.
That's probably going to be right there at the top. If they do what they're...
If they do it well, yes.
They said that they are going to be fixing a lot of the issues that were brought up from Dragon Age 2 and 1.
Well, so, I mean, here's the thing. Like, Dragon Age 2...
What she's holding.
Dragon Age 2...
It's not because...
Had a lot of great ideas with how to, like... Character development was really good. The way the characters were interacted is really good. The way that the combat works is really good. The level design sucks balls.
Well...
The level design is essentially, let's reuse the same level and change a couple corridors. Let's do that over and over and over again.
Hey, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Well, no, when that was broke.
That one was really broke.
Did you play Dragon Age 2?
Dragon Age 2, my brother played a lot, and he hated it because it was not what Dragon Age was.
Well, and there's also the thing, like, here's two ways you can go with Dragon Age. Dragon Age kind of got me back, like, the reason I loved the first one so much, it was basically turn-based combat. You could turn it into that game, and it was a strategy game.
Mm-hmm.
Second one was an action game with the dressings of that tactical combat, but it didn't make sense to play it that way because it moved so fast with the combat. Like, there was no lining up your beefy guys in the front and having your guys that, you know, do trap, you know, detect traps or remove traps and then casting big old AoE spells like there was in the first one. The second one was more like, let's move like a ninja across the battlefield and be a badass. Mm-hmm. Which the combat looks cool as hell, but it is not the same combat as the first game by any means.
No.
That and Justin missed having Anders Love.
You know? I totally was not looking for Anders Love.
Yeah, well, you didn't accidentally let him kiss you.
Well, there was no accidental anything. He asked.
You know what? I was towards that hard.
I was mortified when that happened. I'm like, because you get those
special... You can't be nice to everybody, Rusty. You got to realize what you got to tell people. No.
Whoa! What is this no word you speak of?
The most powerful word in any language.
In Dragon Age 2,
you just got to say no.
There's points where you must say no. Otherwise, you are flying. You're flying the other team's flag.
Hey, you know what? Sometimes that can be an interesting story arc, and if you want to do that, go right on ahead.
Let me tell you.
But sir, I don't discriminate.
I stabbed his ass in the back.
I bet you did. I bet you did.
At the end of the game,
you literally stabbed him.
I stabbed him.
I bet you did stab him in the back.
It's been a while since that game came out.
There's another arc that you can go because there's the elf warrior. He's like, elf warrior swings any way you are, if you're a female character or a male character.
Yeah,
he just likes it all.
He's a Dornish prince in that regard.
But he is a
he's on the mentalist too.
But he's also like, it's hard because you want to be such a good character, but like there's that part of you that wants to play it like you, and so you're like, I'm not gonna make that. Oh, you know what? Fuck it. I'm just gonna make this decision because I want him to be a good character and be on my side. I'm gonna take one for the team so that this team is better.
That's a really cool picture.
So what you're saying is you have principles, but you will totally compromise them for the good of the team.
No,
that's why
he'll compromise them for an elf that swings both ways.
Hey, maybe he drove a nice car. Maybe he was really polite. You don't know.
He had a big sword and he was deadly with it.
Listen, most men are, okay?
Oh my god. I
understand why y'all are hating on these people, my gosh.
Y'all are mean.
He loves his two-handed sword.
The most effective thing in life.
Oh my god.
In gaming. Yeah. Anyways.
Well, you know, he did say he does like double fisting it.
Jeez. From behind, even.
It's like the pommel. But. Anyways.
Making biscuits.
That game, though, is, like I said, the character design makes you make hard choices, which I thought was really cool. Though, the thing is, again, going on story development, you can have a small-ass indie team, like the people in Wasteland 2, and I think the writing itself is stronger, because I feel more attached to my characters. Even though they're characters that I made, and they're not voiced, they have such an interesting way of making you make challenging decisions for yourself, to where people will die in your team, where people will die in whatever you're trying to save. There's no right or wrong answer. It's all gray.
Right. Well,
it's most of the time in real life, I mean, that's kind of what happens. You got to make bad decisions, and it makes you feel more connected because you're never going to be everybody's hero.
Right.
And
hey, they'll make a song about you if you can be someone's hero.
Well, even, you know, other games that allow you to, you know, basically create and customize a character. Even, you know,
well, and
like XCOM, for instance. I hated losing a team member in XCOM.
But you have to.
You know, but there are some situations where you run into that.
Well, and to quote another cast, you can't be the hero Kovach everywhere.
Right. Right. Oh, shit.
You know who you are, other cast.
Yeah, other cast! You know who but you are.
If, you know, going back to, you know, Dragon Age... they have improved a lot just from what they were able to show for their combat is going to be a whole lot better. Their story seems to be a bit, I don't know,
the whole Inquisition
Blizzard-ish almost.
How do you time that, trying to get Blizzard as a sponsor?
Huh?
You'd be nice. We're
complimenting Blizzard.
Yeah. Well,
yeah. Okay. You said Blizzard-ish. Blizzard-ish
is in the idea of like there's a centralized like fountain of bad that comes, you know, that they have to go and fight.
That's the story of like most RPGs.
Well, yeah. True, but it's it seemed a little more towards Blizzard, but anyhow. Then again, the last episode of Game of Thrones has me thinking about that too.
Well, and to put that also in perspective, again, the reason I'm excited for the finishing of Wasteland 2, there's a choice where I'm going to save a guy from cancer, and I go discover this village. I'm not going to say where it's at. You'll figure this out as you play the game. And I have an option to turn these guys in because they're ultra bad, or let them continue on in research.
That will cure cancer.
That will cure cancer. But they are related to an older threat that happened in Wasteland 1. And so, you have to make the decision, is it morally right for me to let these guys stay in power if they're providing research towards a greater good, even though their methods are universally wrong, universally 100% wrong in every regard, or do I let them do this because I want to save this guy and complete this quest? Like, there's a lot of quests that you have in your log that just don't get finished, and because it's not going to let you. You cannot complete this quest. You have to make that decision as to what I'm going to do. Do I OCD enough that I have to finish every quest, or do I have to make this decision that will lead to a different quest?
Unfortunately, would be that one. OCD until quests are gone.
Like all your, like you have a main quest, so to speak, in that game, but it kept branching off in different areas to do different things that were related but different, or we're going to take that main story arc in a different direction altogether. And I can imagine that the flowchart for this game is enormous.
Awesome.
There's a lot of writing in that game.
I think I love this game.
It's just, it's, you know, tabletop RPG, the video game.
Yay, I like those.
So, again, reason that I like these types of games so much. Anyways, nice. I'm derailing. You got news. We want to go to bed.
You are, yeah. I'm ready to pass out.
I'll let you just smile and I'll shut up.
Right?
Yeah, go for it.
No, you're good. So, you have a piece of news, Rusty?
A little bit of news. You know, a little bit of a legend. Everybody's heard about the secret burial of the failed E.T. game for Atari.
What?
Well, there's that whole documentary that's being made on there, right?
Right.
Worst game ever. Well, what? It's
been voted the absolute worst game ever made. And it was right near the video game, right at the end of the Atari era of video, you know, where video games crashed real hard.
What's game called?
It was E.T. the video game, you know.
Oh, I played E.T. the video game. Yeah, I remember that. I spent so many hours playing that game. I liked it when I was a young kid because I played word games as a young kid.
Obviously,
yeah.
I played E.T. I played a bunch of stupid games.
Man, I played this E.T. game, and it's not worth spending the frustration of turning it on.
It's so bad they made a landfill out of it.
Yeah, well, they took it out, and it was a famous, you know, urban legend in the video game industry that Atari took all of these, you know, these games, unsold, unopened packages, took them out to the Arizona desert, dug a big hole.
Yeah, I remember seeing the guy picking them up through the on the ground.
Yeah, and
just filled it in and covered it up and just said, that's it.
That's sad. So much good times.
Well, it was a legend because nobody had found it until just recently. They went out and they were working on a different project. They were digging through some of the desert in New Mexico and came across this hidden
treasure trove
of terrible games. And it wasn't just E.T. There was a bunch of other games that were unsold at the time. There was like some Centipede and and other.
Centipede's not a bad game.
It wasn't bad, no, but it was mainly E.T. And they just went through.
I enjoyed E.T. I liked it.
And they were starting to unearth all of these different old games. They said there was about 700,000 plus units.
Wow.
So this place was considered a write-off dump for Atari at the time.
That's crazy.
But
Wow.
It's urban legend confirmed, basically.
Nice.
It was nice. And it tied right into my Atari stuff. That was what brought up the Atari talk from earlier today.
Nice. All right. And other, did you have anything else, Justin? All right. So, other quick news real quick. Microsoft has confirmed that it will start releasing its own original series coming in June, including the much talked about live action Halo series.
That's going to be released on the on Xbox Live.
What did they? So primarily. You guys watched Ford Under Dawn?
I did. Yes.
Yes. It was good.
What was it?
Basically, it was a.
What was the show called?
Forward Under Dawn. Basically, it was 343 Studios and Microsoft deciding, we're not getting any traction on a Halo movie or anything else. So, you know what? We're just going to produce our little own miniseries.
Not really a miniseries. It's like one long episode.
Yeah, really. Broken like into...
Made to DVD.
Broken into like six different installments on Xbox Live.
It was nice. I actually... It amped up.
You can see the whole thing on Netflix. The whole thing's there.
Yeah, I watched it on Netflix actually last year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was actually a really good short story, put together well. It was produced amazingly.
It was released right before Halo 4.
Yeah, it was a lead up to Halo 4. And it went over so well that they got Steven Spielberg to buy into producing a full-on live-action series, and they're doing it on their own.
Nice.
They've given up on trying to bring anyone else in.
Well,
so it'll be interesting to see exactly what it does. Let's see, what was the and the biggest news of all for me is Lucasfilm and Disney finally confirming that they're throwing out the entire extended universe after Jedi, and they are holding that little threat that not all of the written and game history to Star Wars may be safe either. It's not that they're completely tossing it out, though. It's more that they don't want to be beholden to the exact events after Jedi and novel.
I if they're going to go that direction, I feel that they just need to go with the known characters and then create new characters and leave all of the characters that everybody knows from the extended universe completely out of it. I don't want to, if they're going to go that far, just don't touch it, cuz it is, as soon as you say something like Mara Jade and it comes up and that character does not play the same type of character as portrayed in the extended universe,
there's going to be people that's going to boycott those movies.
Are you going to be one of those?
Agreed. No, I don't. I haven't read any of those books. I've read a lot of the backstory, you know, and I played a lot of the games.
You know, I was looking at the news the day, and you know what? I didn't find any news about the Star Trek universe getting butchered.
Star Trek is better!
That's because Star Trek doesn't hold any of the novels as canon, like they did with the extended universe.
I'm sorry that your poster child of awesomeness is getting butchered, but Star Trek's just soaring above in the clouds.
But, main point is, they're actually... We'll see if it was actually a smart move, but I can see the understanding as to why Disney's wanting it done, and that is, it opens up more freedom to writers for the next movies. Instead of rehashing stuff that's been in novels.
You know, they make some really damn good...
Then again, it also means they're tossing out the crap that was Shadow of the Empire.
Well, you've got... That is one of the good things. But, I mean, there's still really good movies that came from books. I mean, and there's an excellent series right now in Game of Thrones that's come straight from books.
And I agree, any of the extended universe novels written by Timothy Zahn would make great screenplays.
Yes.
But that's beside the point.
Anywho.
Other than that, not really any news. Are you finding anything as you're scanning?
I've got one other thing. There is some fairly serious talk right now saying that the current console generation, including Xbox One and PlayStation 4, may be the final console generation based off of the idea that releases are going to become more digital instead of physical copies and be computed in the cloud and accessed through a service instead of being computations being done on a console in your home. So, it's right now, I mean, everybody understands the PlayStation service that will allow you to play the older style games on the PlayStation 4 that's coming out when, you know, Justin, you remember what the name of that shit is? No, PlayStation Now is what they call it?
PlayStation.
Yes.
Gaikai?
Huh?
No, it's PlayStation Plus.
No, the
No, it's streaming not Gaikai service. Anymore. It's PlayStation Now.
Okay. Yeah, that service gives you the ability to be able to play games that are computed on, you know, on their servers, and it streams to your streams to your console. Well, they're going to eventually move to being able to do that with the PlayStation 4 games, which will eliminate the need for discs, which will eliminate the need for computation on a console, which has limited power. You know, if you have and access to, you know, a cloud computer that is running these games that, you know, that can be updated, they can expand those games so that you get much better quality without the constraints of what's on the console. You know, and it's not just PlayStation. Xbox is looking into this too, and, you know, if you tie into the idea that, you know, eventually Steam boxes are just PCs that hook up to your television, and the streaming services
it's
that they're looking
the
for that.
It's just the natural progression.
You know, I see it being a very good possibility,
yeah.
But reliance on high-speed internet and, you know, and things like that, people are going to, you know, have some problems with, you know, access in, you know, in rural areas, but...
Agreed.
It's going to be... Yeah, I think that's where everything's going to go. I kind of see a future where you would have a smart TV... You know, a peripheral like a controller peripheral that hooks up using Bluetooth to your smart TV. You use one of these services and rent your own a license to a game.
Well, and when you look at how long the last console generation lasted, this may still be 10 years off.
Well, you know? Never know. I mean, this is stuff that's coming out fairly quickly. You know, there's all kinds of leaps in technology
that's happening right now.
Well, cloud computing is Microsoft's main focus at the moment. Yeah. So.
There's plenty of games that are running off of Microsoft cloud servers right now, which allows them to expand on the fly. You know, so
Warframe.
Things like that.
So, any other news?
No, I'm still hunting and not finding anything.
So, upcoming releases out today, or by the time you hear this, 2 days ago, The Amazing Spider-Man 2. I hate movie video games.
Yeah.
That's out for all the consoles and PC.
I don't think you see the video game like you're saying that about.
I know, right? Daylight is out for PC and PS4 today.
I say Trent will be playing that.
Oh, yeah.
It's too scary for me. I'm sorry, guys. I'm a pussy.
Piss himself.
Another horrible idea, but we'll see how it works out. Rainbow the video game
is out right now. Every Rainbow video game has been amazing.
I want to fucking hip fire them fucking bastards.
And it's on PS3.
Every Rainbow video game has been amazing. I'm a badass. That and
Skinner. Kirby, on May 2nd, Kirby Triple Deluxe for the 3DS.
Sucking air, shooting stars.
Right?
That's how you made your money in college.
You know what? I wonder, but they don't have a version for Wii U, do they?
No, they do not. It's all 3DS.
You know, Rusty, I got some time because, like, the next big release after that is Wolfenstein New Order on May 20th and Transistor on May 20th. Like, I'm more interested in Transistor than I am anything else.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just because I really like Bastion.
After Thursday of next week, I'm totally free for, like, a month. It's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, and I can play Transistor when I can't find you.
Apparently, your Game of Thrones thing is not a toy.
Whoop, whoop.
Whoop, whoop. That was and then for any of those of you who missed it, the entire Sly Cooper collection coming out on the Vita on May 27th.
Slut Cooper?
Sly Cooper.
All right.
Sly.
Yes,
that's the raccoon.
Raccoon.
Is it raccoon?
It's a aluminium. Mate.
A raccoon.
So, other than that, we got our shout-out.
Shout-outs!
Go to BMFcast.com. You have NoQuarters.net. You have ElseWorldsPodcast.com. You have For the Love of Gaming. We have Severe Friends of the Show at TheCarouselPodcast.com. And we have tbgp.tv to do good things.
Good things.
Find us at tiltcast.com. Also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/tiltcast. Same on Twitter, twitter.com/tiltcast. Find us on iTunes and Stitcher. Rate us, review us.
Love us.
Remember, Rusty needs affection. He'll love you if you love him.
We have pictures that prove it.
It's true.
You can also email us at teabag@tiltcast.com. That's the letter T, the word bag.
Teabag.
You get it. Ladies. And with that, that's ladies. The end of the show because Justin looks like he's about to fall asleep.
And single ladies out there, send your photos and what you like to do at night, like long walks on the beach for Mr. Rusty.
Look for Justin on Grindr.
He is looking for a lady. And ladies look on Grindr for
I don't think ladies look on Grindr.
You can. There's nothing says you can't. But ladies, send in those requests to meet Rusty. It
ladies,
could be a night of your dreams.
You can find Rusty on Grindr. You can find me on Scruff.
I almost did Hotter Not Whack when it first started way back in the day.
Jeez.
Wow.
And that's it.
All right. And with that, that's the show. See you next week.